If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
This is the world famous K-Rock. The world famous K-Rock. Why would I say that twice in a row? What would you guess would be the problem?
What's going on now?
You know, we kid around a lot here, but the truth is we care about each other. And we're excited to be back because we want to address some serious issues and, you know, do something we can all be proud of. I used to think flatulence was something to laugh about. Truth is, 300 million Americans a day expel gas through their anus. To learn more about flatulence, you can visit my ass.
You know what I have to say to that? Oh, I thought I was going to fart.
I'm embarrassed. What happened yesterday? I'm embarrassed for the Yankees. The fans, including my family. So I have to say I'm sorry.
And now.
But anyone can play rock, paper, scissors. All you need is a hand and a wrist and an arm. It's the only sport that humans come equipped to play at birth.
Our feature presentation.
Not all humans, however. Not all
humans.
That's
true.
Morning, everybody. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:31. It's Wednesday, the 14th of March. Kabow Bow. Lisa?
Good morning, boys.
I can't believe you're late again.
Yeah, I'm the worst, I know.
My God, every other day you're late.
Kevin was just saying off the air how irresponsible it is that somebody like you can't even make the effort to get to work on time. It just, it shows a complete disregard for your coworkers, Lisa.
Yeah, that's the funniest thing. I was dreaming. I woke up, by the way, at 5:15.
I don't think I ever remember Lisa being late. Do you, Bean?
No.
Not one time. All right,
so my dogs wake me up because they want to be fed, but I've really been working hard on training them, as you told me to.
Sure.
To let me sleep in on the weekend so I don't get up at 5:00 or 4:00 to feed them, so now they're much better.
Cesar Millan, is that what she should be doing? She should be training them not to get up?
No, she should be training them to learn how to fall to the bottom of a lake with cement bricks on the bottom, tied to their feet.
Okay. All right.
Oh, well, I'm completely wrong then.
So the dogs aren't waking you up?
Not so much. And so I think I turned the alarm off. I don't remember doing it, but I'm pretty sure I turned the alarm off.
Right.
And when I woke up, I was having this dream where I was telling a woman who looked exactly like Della Reese why I had missed work that day.
Well,
and I was telling her how I'm never late and I'm never sick, never, never, never. And this is just a special thing and it would never happen again and she could ask anybody. And then I woke up and it was 5:15.
Oh, my God.
Why Touched by an Angel's Della Reese in your dream, Lisa?
I was going to ask you who that was.
Actress, yeah. Singer.
She's gone. She's gone.
Oh, she's dead?
No, she's God.
Oh, she's God. I see.
Touched by an angel, kind of.
I
right?
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't want to be touched by an angel, for God's sakes.
At least no one does, actually. It hasn't been on in years. Hey, Lisa, why don't you have some sort of a man? If you had some sort of a man, he wouldn't let you sleep for more than an hour at a time before he'd be pawing at you.
Yeah, I'll work on that, Bean, because that's like a dream come true.
Nothing better than only getting an hour at a time.
Yeah, right.
So are you going to be a little dirty when you come in this morning?
A little what?
A little dirty.
What does that mean?
Well, never
Well, I'm just saying, you probably didn't have time to take a shower and stuff, you know.
Oh, it's true, I don't. I washed my face and I brushed my teeth.
Fantastic.
Well, thank God.
That's it.
All right. Looking forward to that. All
well,
right.
If you think you can drag your lazy ass in here, feel free.
I will.
All right. Bye now.
Bye.
See, this is what happens. Am I right about this? You hire a woman to do a man's job, and they can't keep up. You know, eventually they start falling behind, and they never recover.
Yeah, I know this is the first time she's ever been late, but it's starting a precedent. That's what we're worried
exactly.
about.
Exactly. And by the way, you know, it's first time, but it has only been about 15 years.
Right.
So clearly it's a downward spiral.
It's like murder. Once you kill a guy...
Exactly.
You know, you're over the hump. You can. Then it's much easier the second time.
Exactly.
So she's probably going to be late again this week, is my guess.
Yeah, I would think tomorrow or the next day. Absolutely, because that's how they are. You know,
those bad employees that sleep in.
You might as well think about Lisa whether it's even worth coming in now at this point because you've got so little credibility with us,
dude. We saw an alarm. I think it was Lisa that showed it to me. By the way, on online, it's Hammacher Schlemmacher.
Schlemmer, right?
I don't know how to say that. And it's an alarm that launches some kind of a rotating disc type thing. And it beeps, and it just flies around your room until you get out of bed and catch it and put it back on the stand.
That's awesome.
That is a, that's an alarm right there that you can't
that's
ignore.
That's fantastic.
You can't just roll over and turn that one off.
Well, we had trouble with the King of Mexico last year. He overslept many times. And I bought him a, I think they call it a firehouse alarm.
Oh, no.
It's like an alarm that's as loud as the one that rings at a fire station, you know, when everybody has to get up and head to a fire. Yeah, and it's just, I mean, it's the kind of alarm I suspect, and I don't have one, but it's the kind of alarm that I would think you'd be so terrified would go off that you would always wake up ahead of it because you just wouldn't want to hear that noise because it would hurt.
Yeah, you're right. That's a little too much, especially if you have other people in the house.
Yes.
I mean, that can't make anyone happy if a fire alarm goes off in the middle of the night.
Exactly. That's so like, apparently we got to do something for Lisa. Maybe it's that flying alarm you're talking about.
I've set a third alarm now. I have three alarm clocks.
Mm-hmm.
I have the music that comes on first, and then if I don't get that within 10 minutes, then my beeping alarm goes off. That's the one on top of the music one.
Right.
And then I set a beeping alarm in the bathroom so that I have to get up and walk into the bathroom to turn it off.
Right.
That's the way to do it.
I just have, you know, I just let Petra wake me up. You know, I just have her just roll over and hit me if she needs to. You know what I mean? Is this thing on?
Petra Nemkova, is that what you mean?
Well, yeah. I mean, everybody knows. I mean, yeah. It's not a secret anymore. I mean, yeah, I can say
that's
it.
That's true.
You know. Actually, the truth is, Kevin, you'll be delighted to know because I know how little tolerance you have for noise.
Yeah.
When you're trying to sleep?
Yeah.
You'll be delighted to know that this time of year, it's been about a week now, the Pacific Northwest tree frogs return each year at this time. And there's nothing, I've done the research, there is literally no solution for the tree frog except to move into a city, I guess.
And those are the ones that just make a high-pitched whistling sound, and there's five million of them.
It starts like this, and you go, well, it's bucolic, and, you know, you're living in the... Oh, wait a minute. Now what's this all about? This is too much. And then they keep going for a while, and then more of them join in, and then they get louder and louder, and I guess it's some sort of a mating call. And I've done the research, and, you know, you can there are fish you can get. You can get bass or something that will eat some, but not all. There's stuff you can put in the water, but some of them don't go in the water. They just hang out by the pond, and it just goes on and on. Everything you think might help doesn't.
Do you have a pond? Is that where they are?
Yes.
Aren't they in the trees?
They're in the trees. They spend half the time on the land, half the time in the water. Yeah. But anywhere there's water, yeah, they'll go.
Dude, some kind of spray. This would drive me out of my mind.
But it's only like this starting at dark and going until around 10 a.m. That's it.
I'd go on a rampage. I would take a shotgun outside and say, "Stop it!"
And you can't use a shotgun on a frog. It's just they're too little. I mean, they're tiny. They're like this big.
You know, get close enough.
Inch long.
You get close enough, you can use a shotgun on anything, dude.
And there are dozens and dozens and dozens of them. You couldn't even find them all.
I would spend the night shooting. That's what I'm telling you.
I suspect you would just move away is what you would do. You just say, I can't handle it.
I can't take the noise. And that's the kind of sound, too. You can have a fan or something that makes noise, you know, so that it kind of drowns everything out. But that just cuts right through.
It does. Yeah. So that's what I got. That's what I'm dealing with. So if Lisa wants to come live with me, she won't have to worry about oversleeping.
Yeah. That's the alarm we need is the tree frog alarm. When it goes off, you start hearing those sons of bitches.
I recorded that several years ago. It's much worse now.
Oh, my God. I would move. I wouldn't be able to take that for a week.
You do. You step out of your car. You know, you come home from someplace. You step out of your car. You think, this is a joke. There's no way this noise is real.
Wow.
And it's at my house.
That is unbelievable.
So, good times.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday, and we have LaQuisha on the show today talking about the Pussycat Dolls last night.
Oh, fantastic.
Very exciting.
I didn't know that. That's
forgot
great
about
news.
The Pussycat Dolls. Yeah, that's where they're looking for a new Pussycat doll. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many they have, but apparently it's not enough. They do need one more, and I'm perfectly fine with that.
I don't understand why they need one more. They already have six.
What right.
can they possibly be doing? I doubt any of them write or sing or play. So,
but there's never anything wrong with more heat.
Well,
you know?
Okay.
Six hot chicks. If they want to add a hot chick, I'm in.
All right. And last week, it was a vomit fest.
There was, yeah. They threw up. They got some kind of bug, and the cameras just followed these hot chicks around as they ralphed, or puked, as we like to say. Ralph doesn't like Ralph. But anyway, LaQuisha will be on the program today. Also, we're going to talk about people who get in fights at the movies. Yesterday, Lisa was telling us about this when she was at work, you know, at work on time.
Oh, I remember Lisa her. She used to do traffic.
Yes. She was telling us about being in the theater, and there were about five guys sitting in front of her, and they were text messaging. And, you know, first they start with a shh, and then they start yelling, and then, you know, kicking, and then Lisa gets up and does a flying whirly bird neck dive head butt. I don't know what she does, but anyway, you know that people get in fights at the movies. You know it happens because people are so unbelievably annoying. And they don't realize that everybody else has paid as well. So we're going to take calls from you in the 7 o'clock hour if you have gotten in a fight at the movies. We have Jeff Goldblum. He's in a brand-new TV show called Reigns on Thursday night. So we're going to talk to him in about a half hour. We have, if you missed it, way late in the show yesterday, Psycho Mike went to Dewan's house to give him a birthday gift. And I can honestly say I don't think I've ever heard more energy. I've never heard a happier human being in the on the planet than I did yesterday.
He's excited.
Very, very excited.
He was welcome.
Warmer welcome.
He was thrilled to see Mike, thrilled to get his gift.
His family threw their arms around Mike. Oh, it was unbelievable. It was like a homecoming for you, wasn't it?
It was. I felt so good about myself.
Eric Idle is on the show today.
Damn.
He's talking about
Comedy Legend.
Talking about the Spamalot show coming to Vegas. And so we're going to talk to him on the program. We have a guy who does commercials here on K-Rock that's starting to drive us out of our minds. Just by the way he pronounces things, it's driving us crazy.
Oh, because of all the AIS commercials that he does where he answers the emails and then calls people back? And
no, not that guy.
A month! That guy?
No, not that guy. Although that guy bugs
annoyed.
As well.
Yeah, that guy's got to go.
No, this guy here. Do you have a little clip? Yeah.
I'm a powerful man.
Okay, right there. That's it. I'm out. So we have a commercial intervention. He's the guy who does a lot of commercials here on K-Rock. We get, email from time to time, people complaining about commercials. So we'll take care of this for you. This one's on us. Don't worry about it. Also, the Museum of TV and Radio is having their television festival, and they are going to assemble the cast and the creators of The Simpsons.
Don't!
One of the great, great all-time shows.
I mean...
Woohoo! So that's coming up this morning as well. We are going to continue planning tomorrow's Armenian Comedian Sets the World Record. We're going to keep planning that today. I guess one of the school newspapers wants to interview us.
Oh, okay.
That should go poorly. But anyway, Sam, tomorrow, 6 a.m., boom, starts cutting hair. 6:05, falls apart. We end the attempt. But we are set for 24 hours. If he can keep going, he can set a record, which is 251. The record right now is 250. He's going to actually try. He's going to go for it on the campus of Cal State Long Beach. So that's coming up this morning as well. And you'll never believe who else is trying to hire me to be an announcer. Okay. 5:42. We'll come right back with Ralph Showbiz Beat coming up next.
Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat. Good morning, Ralph.
Good morning.
We were just going to see how long you were going to go with it.
Yeah. See just how long you could.
Well, I appreciate the support. Hey, was Lisa coming from your place this morning, Ralph? Is that what's going on? Or
not
what?
As far as I know.
Okay.
Lisa, did you just have to do the walk of shame in somebody's house? Is that what happened?
That's what Alex's theory is, that the reason you're late is you didn't realize how far away you ended up last night.
Were you coming from Huntington Beach? Were you coming from the 909?
Where's the current unit you're riding like a pony? Where's it exist? Where's it call home?
Wasn't it, you guys?
I thought you set the alarm.
I did.
That's what you said to him.
Wow.
Lisa has the most complex set of headphones ever in the history of broadcasting.
I can't hear her. I do know that.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm good now.
There we
Sorry.
Go.
Yeah. No, well, I was at home.
One night of random sex and she forgets how to work a microphone. I've noticed that.
Everything goes right out the window.
Yeah.
She's just thinking about 10:01 when she can go back and make sweet love to that guy that's not going to be there.
I said, just stay there, honey. I'll be back.
5:51, time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Congratulations to Tori Spelling. She finally gave birth to her first child yesterday at Cedars-Sinai Hospital here in Los Angeles. Liam McDermott is his name. Pretty normal name for a celebrity baby.
Yeah, that's not helpful. We need a bad name.
I know. Tori's mother, Candy Spelling, was actually there at the hospital at the time of the delivery. Two of them been having a feud ever since the death of her husband, Aaron Spelling. And looks like the two of them now are going to bury the hatchet, and they're going to try to reconcile their relationship. I've heard sometimes a child will do that with a mother and daughter if they're estranged, that sometimes a grandbaby will bring them together. And the two of them are saying they're putting their feud behind them and they're going to go forward.
But they were really estranged. I mean, didn't they do like a TV special? She wasn't allowed in.
There was a lot of hate and there was suing going on and stuff and everything, but apparently...
Extra ugly.
It's all gone by the wayside, which is nice. Tori's husband, Dean McDermott, already has two other children, an 8-year-old son, and a 1-year-old daughter from a previous marriage. Oh, that's right. He left his pregnant wife to be with Tori. That's why the baby's 1 year old.
Aww.
Now it's all coming back to me.
Wow.
Hey, I'm happy for Tori Spelling, because anything that will keep her from acting, I think, is a good thing.
So I agree.
If she wants to stay at home and raise kids, that's great.
And maybe pregnancy will fill out the vast cavern of cleavage in between her fake boobs. And she'll actually look like a human being.
She take
more than pregnancy for that. They're by the way.
Real.
She says they're real.
She doesn't say they're
she
real.
Does.
Still?
She insists.
She still insists?
Yes.
She's got a chest plate like a Spartan.
I know.
When you look at her in a low-cut dress. It's ridiculous. It's like somebody,
boobs.
Somebody pounded it out of bronze and put it on her.
Nobody's boobs are less real than hers. Right?
Right.
I'm with you, brother. You're preaching to the choir.
Wow.
Well, looks like the U.S. is going to war with Iran.
I'm sorry?
What?
The U.S. is going to war with Iran.
Is that true?
Yeah.
It's in our entertainment report? Is
not,
that where we live?
Not for any of the reasons you think, though.
Oh, okay.
They're going to war over the movie 300.
Why?
Oh,
what do you mean?
Really?
Movie debuted last week to record box office, of course, and now an Iranian official has lashed out at the movie for insulting the Persian civilization. You see, Iran was once called Persia.
Oh, sure.
Apparently, Javad Shamkhadri, who is the art advisor for President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad.
He has an art advisor?
Yes.
I wonder if George Bush does.
Has called the new movie part of the comprehensive U.S. psychological war aimed at the Iranian culture.
Really?
But isn't it fairly historically accurate about an actual battle that happened?
Who cares, Bean?
Sure, there is that.
There's no room for facts or logic in this. He added, following the Islamic Revolution in Iran, Hollywood and cultural authorities in the U.S. initiated studies to figure out how to attack Iranian culture. Certainly, this recent movie is a product of such studies.
The showbiz community is well known for wanting to attack Iran.
Oh, they hate them.
That's all they
think about. Give us way too much credit.
Yes, they do.
We can barely find it on a map.
They give themselves too much credit, by the way.
Remember in Raiders of the Lost Ark, when the Iranians stole that temple, the Lost Ark, rather, and they tried to...
Was that them? I don't think that was them.
No, it was the Nazis.
Oh, yeah,
that's right.
Nazis.
Yeah. Well, look, if you weren't alive 2,500 years ago when the battle took place, we're not insulting you, okay? Persians, it's nothing to do with you.
It's not you. It
happened before Christ was born. Why don't you all relax and get over that? However,
you can't expect them just to get over it, Ralph.
However, there's an upside. Greece is so happy with the movie.
Oh, sure.
They have volunteered 300 soldiers if we do go to a war with Iran. So
that ought to be enough.
We got them backing us up.
As long as we have 300 of them.
This is an interesting pairing. New York Post is reporting that at a New York hotspot called The Box, Lindsay Lohan was spotted curling up with Jude Law and going at it, both Friday and Saturday nights.
Lindsay Lohan and Jude Law?
Yeah.
So they're both done, and this is the end of the respective lists of all the people in the world that they're going to have sex with.
They've worked through every other celebrity. Now they're down to each other.
She gets around, doesn't she?
The restaurant. So does
he.
So does he.
Yeah.
The restaurant said, in honor of the two, they're going to rename the restaurant the Firebox.
I like it.
I thought it was nice. It's very sweet of them to give Lindsay a little something.
Sure.
Jennifer Hudson's already a diva.
She can't be already a diva.
I've been hearing stories.
Me too.
The failed winner of American Idol, who went on to win a Golden Globe and Oscar for Best Supporting Actress, apparently now is hard to deal with. Sometimes people get too much too soon in life, and it spins their head a little bit. She was supposed to be making an appearance at the Soul Train Awards last Friday afternoon.
Right.
And she said, no, I'm not going to go. She told the producer, Don Cornelius, hello, I'm Don Cornelius.
You don't tell Don Cornelius anything. You do what he says.
He's a Don. He's like, you know, he's like the mafia or whatever.
Yeah, that's just his name.
What?
So she had agreed to it.
Yeah, and then said, nah. So Cornelius gets a phone with Clive Davis, who is still her manager because she has a lifetime contract or something because of American Idol.
Right.
And reportedly, this is according to witnesses, this is what he did. He picked up the phone and said, get your ass to L.A. and hung up on her.
And Clive Davis did?
Yeah. And she went.
Wow.
So I guess he still has some sway with her, but
yeah,
she's acting up. In a related story, Burger King has offered her lifetime cheeseburgers. Have you heard this?
No, I have not.
She does not need them.
No, she does not. Because she equated her time on American Idol with her teenage job of working at Burger King.
That isn't good for you.
So wow.
Burger King said, have it your way.
All right.
She's got Whoppers for life.
Maybe they put her in the Burger King movie that they're making. Maybe that's the way it'll...
I think that'll be her next role.
Have an Oscar-winning actress in the Burger King movie.
It's time for celebrity romance merry-go-round.
Excellent.
They're all swapping partners again. This week, Us Weekly Magazine says that Jessica Biel is, is now dating her former Blade Trinity co-star Ryan Reynolds.
No. Oh, dear God. He gets another hottie?
What?
Van Wilder is betting Jessica Biel.
What is up with that?
He must be hung.
What?
Because he keeps scoring.
What's up with that?
That's horrific.
He's ripped.
On every level.
Yeah.
That's all that matters, right, Sucko Mike?
Well, I mean, he looks amazing without a shirt.
For a douchebag, he's one of those guys that he's a complete tool, and then he takes off his shirt, and you're like, whoa! Holy totally shiky.
I don't think most of us would say that, although some of the women might.
But here's the thing. I give no credence to actors who get in really great shape. Especially when they do it for films.
Because they have nothing to do but time.
Because they pay for a personal trainer and they set aside the time. You're getting paid while you're training because you've got the acting roll up. And if any one of us had that sort of a staff dedicated to getting him into shape, we could do it too.
Well, except for Bean.
Well, except for Bean, of course, yeah.
That's not right. That has to end now.
Meanwhile, Chris Evans, who plays Johnny Storm, the Human Torch in the Fantastic Four movies, he used to date Jessica Biel. They were dating. Now they're not dating anymore, and now Chris Evans is dating Emmy Rossum, the girl from Phantom of the Opera and Poseidon, who's also smoking hot.
So hot.
I don't know her.
You know her if you saw her.
Okay.
She's diabolical. So they're all doing quite well for themselves.
And all Mike can think about with all those women is how ripped Ryan Reynolds is.
Ryan Reynolds takes off his shirt like, wow, shnikes.
So gay.
You're sexy.
Oh.
Meanwhile, Pamela Anderson has been seen making out with Tommy Lee.
Of course.
Well, yeah.
That seems to be her fallback position, doesn't
it? Those two are going to hit and move away their entire lives, aren't they?
Reportedly, they're back together again.
Sure.
Not only because of the undeniable attraction between the two of them, nor the size of his Schweinsteiger.
Sure.
But because Pam's mom stepped in and said to Pam the following, and I quote, "If you're going to be with an a-hole, be with your ex-husband. At least you've got kids together."
Great advice.
There's a sweet, brilliant logic to that.
It's a given that you're going to be with an a-hole.
Right.
So,
you got Kid Rock, who's an a-hole you have no connection with.
Right.
You got
right.
Tommy, you got two kids with. You're going to see him anyway. If you got to be with an a-hole.
What the hell?
Wouldn't that smooth the path a little bit?
Sure. I like it.
Good point, Mom Anderson. And lastly, casting news about a movie that I am really looking forward to, Batman Begins sequel, The Dark Knight.
Oh.
I've been telling you so far that we've got Heath Ledger will be playing the Joker in this film.
Right.
We've got Two-Face as the other villain, which will be played by Aaron Eckhart, another brilliantly talented actor. And the role of Rachel Dawes, Bruce Wayne's girlfriend that was played by Katie Holmes in the original film, will now be played by Maggie Gyllenhaal. She has stepped up to perform. And she does
terrific
have sort of a Katie Holmes-ish quality about her. And she's an infinitely better actress.
Yeah, she's a good actress.
So that's the latest on the cast.
Not hot, though, at all.
Oh, she's cute.
No.
She's attractive.
No.
Come on.
No.
Yes.
I mean, she's not a bombshell, but she's a very attractive girl.
No. What was the movie that she was just in and she was...
Well, Sherry Baby. Look at who she was playing,
She was playing
a woman...
She was a
just beat up
drug addict single mother. But then it's not like Charlize Theron, where then she's this beautiful vision. She still looks like Sherry Baby.
No, she doesn't.
She looks cute on the red carpets and stuff. She looks fine.
Yeah, she's very attractive.
You ever see the secretary?
I don't know.
God, no. He would
sex on heels. That girl.
Yeah.
Never mind, guys. Forget
you're
it.
You're wrong.
It's a lost cause.
I can be wrong. It's just I don't. She's
boy,
not...
can you? Some people can be wrong, and then some people abuse the privilege. You know what I'm saying?
King of Mexico's got my back. She's fugly, he writes.
Oh,
yeah,
come
he's
on.
The
how
arbiter
about
of
that?
Face.
This is the only time I'm happy to have the king with me.
Yeah.
Sorry. Not hot.
Back to you.
That's what I have to put up with every day, people. Today's celebrity birthday, speaking of Batman, Michael Caine, a talented actor for many, many years who plays Alfred in the Batman movies. He is 74 years old today. Quincy Jones, Q, legendary musician, producer, also the dad of Rashida Jones.
Yes,
from The Office. Who plays the girl in The Office. He's 74 years old today. Billy Crystal, actor and comedian, 59 years old today. Chris Klein, from American Pie and many other films, 28 years old today. And Adrian Zmed.
Yes.
Who, of course.
How does that get that big of a yes?
Zmed's awesome.
Zmed's the man.
Dude, I'm
Zmedicated. I can't even picture him.
Sometimes I go home and I just meditate.
Oh, yeah.
What's wrong with you people? Look what I have to deal with every day.
Adrian Zmed, who wasn't not only Officer Vince Romano and T.J. Hooker.
Never watched that show.
Like he did anything else. But also one of the stars of Grease 2.
Yes, that's what I know best
from. One of the best worst movies ever made.
Wow.
Yeah. You don't know, Kevin.
He's got a body of work.
He sure does. And a body.
Yeah,
just ask Psycho Mike.
Oh, he's ripped.
Don't know.
Have you seen Bachelor Party, dude?
Bachelor Party. He was in Bachelor Party.
Oh,
with
yeah,
Tom
I saw
Hanks.
That. I saw Bachelor Party.
He was his best friend. Tom Hanks' best friend in Bachelor Party.
Great pecs.
Don't care.
Come on.
Don't care.
Give Zmed some love.
I don't want
Say,
to.
I love Adrian Zmed.
I don't love him.
Say it. I got all day. I love Adrian Zmed.
We have Jeff Goldblum standing by.
Whatever. He's no Adrian Zmed.
I know, but we have to go.
Even Jeff would say that.
I'll
give you $5 if you ask Jeff Goldblum, do you think you're a better actor than Adrian Zmed?
You give me $5?
I'll give you $5.
Okay.
All right. Adrian Zmed's 53 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk in showbiz beat.
And now, a moment with Bean.
A lot of people who are into, you know, one sort of athletic sports, they're really into other ones, too. They, you know, they like to kind of do both.
That was a moment with Bean.
I can't imagine what went wrong there. I don't know what the problem was there. And that's the guy who normally doesn't do that, Bean, so that's funny.
Well, you know, I always defend our president by saying if you have a microphone in front of you enough hours of the day, doesn't matter who you are, there's going to come a time where you're just going to be the victim. You're going to be the moment with guy. There's nothing you can do about it.
Right. Yeah.
But if there's you talk enough, it's going to be you.
But if you're like me, you know, then it's more. And if you work with people who take great glee in it and record it and play it back over and over.
Seems like even more.
All right. All week long, we are giving you a chance to spend spring break where you want to spend spring break in the zero temperature Norway.
Woo!
Oh, I got to tell you, the beer, the babes, the water, the sports, it's going to be so much fun.
Now, there are babes there, right? Bean's been to Norway. I never have.
I have. I've been to Norway in the winter, too, and it's just a miserable, dark, cold, damp, dank place that you're going to lay it. What's going to happen is we're going to send you to this big spring break, and except for going to Nine Inch Nails, which is awesome, which is great and worth the trip, except for that, you're going to lay in your bed, you're just going to look outside and go, no, I can't get out of this, or I can't leave this room. It's just miserable.
What about nightlife? Do they have, like you would know. Sorry. The chicks, though. Chicks are hot?
Yes. Plenty of hot Scandinavian women, yes.
But covered way up because it's way cold.
Right.
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, you think they're hot under whatever parka they're wearing. Yeah. But, I mean, it's cold. I mean, it's freaking Oslo, Norway in March. You know, I mean, you will not have a good time. That's what we're telling you. If we call your name on Friday, it's like a death sentence. It's basically just saying, I hope you got all your fun out of your system before we go on this trip because you're going to hate it.
And you have to go. We're going to force you. We're going to have a guard at your door to make sure that you go. Uh-huh.
Legally, if you qualify for this trip by winning the Nine Inch Nails CD and DVD, then yes, you are legally required to go. There's no way out of it.
Talking about the new CD Year Zero and their DVD Beside You in Time, which is their live DVD. So you can qualify by winning that this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. And on Friday morning, we will call somebody with a death sentence. They're going to Norway.
When I was in Norway in wintertime, I decided, and I don't know how I got this brilliant idea, except I wanted to see the country. By the way, we're waiting for a moment. We'll have actor Jeff Goldblum joining us here from his new TV series in a second. I decided I was going to drive from Oslo to Bergen. Now, Bergen is a city that is on the west coast of Norway, and it's about a 10-hour drive.
Oh, my God.
In winter, yeah. And it's just the windiest roads you've ever seen in your life. Just, I mean, roads with no guardrails where you're going around like you're hugging the side of a mountain and just, you know, just beads of sweat. You're just begging to not fall off the mountain because you think, yeah, I'm going to die. And it was just white knuckle time the entire ride there.
Good vacation times. Choice.
So basically, we're sending someone to die. Do we have that many listeners that we can do that?
I don't know.
Send them out of the country and they'll die? That's not
Friday morning, 7:15 here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We do the grand prize drawing and we send you to spring break in Norway with the band Nine Inch Nails. All right, very excited to welcome this guy back to the program. It's been a while since we caught up with him. The new TV series is called Reigns, and it's always good news when actor Jeff Goldblum is in a show, especially one you can see for free. It debuts tomorrow night at 10 o'clock on NBC. Jeff Goldblum, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
So you're on TV, my man. How about that? You know, more and more we hear from actors, and maybe you're the same, who just say, look, I go where the good work is. Tell us about you and Reigns. How did it happen?
Well, you know, I went over to the Chateau Marmont now a while ago and met Graham Yost, who created Boomtown, very smart and talented guy.
Oh, I love that show.
Yeah, he's a great, great guy. And the director of the pilot, who was Frank Darabont, the guy who directed Shawshank Redemption.
Shawshank, yeah.
And they said, this is going to be really special. And they gave me the script, and I loved it. And they described where the show was going. And you're right. Like other actors, I thought, you know, if the best material and the best people, I'll go any place to do it.
How often do you get pitched TV work? Because mostly you're known for movies.
Yeah, I've mostly done movies. But, you know, people have wanted me to do this and that. But I've luckily been able to pick at least the stuff that's most interesting to me. And this was it at that point.
And your guy, Rains, who we'll talk about in a second here, looks like there's so many wonderful characters on television these days. You know, you see Kara Sedgwick's character over there on Closer. You see the character on House. I mean, there's so many just really, like, interesting people that you want to spend time with. And what I've heard about Rains sounds like he's another one of those kind of oddball guys that you can't take your eyes off of.
Yeah, he's sort of original, I think, and fresh. They wrote something very interesting. It has a noir flavor to it, but it's in modern-day Los Angeles, and I'm a very effective and good and smart homicide detective in the LAPD. But I'm having a kind of a mental crisis at this point. My partner and best friend got killed a few months ago in a shootout that I was part of, and I was wounded, and I killed this drug dealer who got him. And since then, I've been having hallucinations. I've been hearing things and seeing things.
And that helps you solve the crimes? They're actually accurate in some way?
You know, we talk to these cops, and apparently one of the legitimate devices that they use is that they're encouraged to sort of have a, like writers do, break themselves off, have a little imaginary dialogue with the victim, because it turns out, you know, a high percentage of victims knew their killers.
Right.
And so, so if they sort of intuit, you know, who the victim was and what their lives were like, they might kind of find clues, and that's what happens with me, except I start actually seeing them instead of just imagining.
So did you talk to the LAPD, and they said that's what they do? They ask their detectives to try and role play and kind of write up what the guy would be like?
Yeah, that's right. We had a couple of great consultants, Kevin Dunnigan and Rich Longshore. They said that's what they do.
So are you kind of like a ghost whisperer without the cleavage?
That's funny. Well, not much cleavage, But yeah, and there's nothing paranormal in our show. You know, it's just inside my mind, all these hallucinations. Oh. I'm not actually conjuring or seeing ghosts at all.
Can we see what's going on in your mind? They show it on the TV show?
Yeah, and the audience can see it, but nobody else on screen can see it. They think that whenever I, you know, don't cover it and just get to myself somewhere, they think I'm talking to myself if they see me doing this.
Right, so everybody thinks you're crazy.
Yeah, and they think I'm crazy, and they send me to Madeline Stowe, this therapist, who's a wonderful actor. I love being a cop, and so I make sure to keep it to myself. I'm loath to even tell her, because if it gets out, they're not going to let me be a cop. I don't think you can carry a gun and you know, be hallucinating like that, and they can't give me medication, because I don't think you can carry a gun.
At least in a perfect world, that's true, yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds like fun. Hey, Jeff. Jeff Goldblum on the line with us right now. We're talking about the new series on NBC called Rains. It's going to debut tomorrow night at 10 on NBC. Ultimately, I guess they're moving you to Friday, but for the next couple of weeks, we see you on a Thursday night. You're so famous for your musical ability. I know you're a wonderful singer and a piano player. Do they work, take advantage of those talents you have in real life and work that into the character at all?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, they do. My character happens to be a hobbyist jazz pianist, and I've got a piano in my cool Venice apartment, and you see me playing here and there.
Awesome. You probably live in an apartment so enviable no cop could afford it, I bet.
Yeah, that's true. It's pretty cute.
Do you, have you already been shooting this for quite a while? How long?
Yeah, we stopped a couple months ago. We shot for several months and finished up these seven episodes that they're now going to put on.
I gotcha.
And it's given me a chance to start to do research for this movie that I'm about to go off and do in Israel and Romania called Adam Resurrected.
Dude.
Yeah, that Paul Schrader is going to direct. Willem Dafoe is in it, and Stellan Skarsgård. It's really great.
So you just dip your foot in the deep end of TV, and then you just get right back out and go to the movies.
I'm all around, yeah.
I like that.
Well, like I said, we brought you on. Any project you're in, Jeff, is better for it, and we're excited to check this out. Tomorrow night, Rains is what it's called, R-A-I-N-E-S. It's at 10 o'clock on NBC. We wish you great things for it, and thank you for coming on.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye now. Time for a little email. Brian Martinez writes to me, Kevin, baseball died.
What?
That's the name of the subject. Baseball died. And he sent this audio file.
Baseball?
How dare he? How dare him?
Dear Kevin and Bean, this email begins. I listen to your show every morning on my commute to work, so I know how you detest the pet parents. Lisa.
Yeah.
Mike.
Yeah.
That being said, I have to bring this website to your attention if you don't already know. It's www.bdogs.com. Yeah, you guessed it. Bdogs.com is, quote, the premier online repository for pictures of dogs in bee costumes.
End quote. Oh, come on.
And I have seen that site. I don't know who all these pet owners are, says Parker, or where the hell they're from, but I think they all should be dragged out into the street and shot. Parker Glendale. Yeah, you'll get no complaints from us. If you're dressing your dog up like a bee and putting the picture online, I'm sorry. They don't need to take the dog away from you. They need to take you away from the dog. The dog's fine.
Yeah, the dog's not having fun in a bee costume.
I just complain that that's such a narrow category. Only bee costumes? That's the only thing you can submit? That just seems wrong.
You can start your own site if there's another costume that you feel is being overlooked, Lisa, but then you should be dragged out the street and shot too. Sorry.
We're going to have to kidnap our dogs. This one comes to us from our friend Anel about Guitar Hero. Because I got destroyed by Dave yesterday. Yeah. Dude, don't feel too bad. I suck at Guitar Hero as well. Of course, I always use the I'm black excuse. Mm-hmm. Except for Jimi Hendrix and Bootsy Collins, ain't too many black guitarists out there. So next time this happens, just use the I'm black excuse. Works for me, Anel.
Tell that to Tom Morello, by the way, while you're at it.
Well, that's true.
Hey, guys, and Lisa Ding. I know it's a little late, but I had to let you know I attended the Paley Festival Tribute to Heroes this past Saturday night, the Museum of Television Radio event that we gave away the tickets to, remember, with the cast of Heroes? It was incredible. Of course, Heroes, to me, is the best TV show I've ever seen. All the cast was there except for Sylar, who's going to be at the Comic-Con this week. And let me just say that the guy who plays the cop, Greg Grunberg, stole the show. He was hilarious and made the whole evening fun and entertaining. Now, I'm going to read this next part, but if you don't want to know anything that is coming up on Heroes, please do not listen to the radio.
Oh, yeah.
They showed us a five-minute clip from episode 19 that is coming up in April. It was so great with some really big revelations. Again, I'm warning you, I'm about to tell you something that is coming up in the show, so turn your radio off for a minute. Including that Linderman has powers as well, that Nathan is going to be president, and that Peter may not be the bomb as many have suspected. It was pretty cool to hear from the actors on the stage that many of them do not even know if they will be killed off in the next episode or sometime down the road. By the way, someone asked why Lost is where it is, and Greg Grunberg chimed in that they killed off a really good character, and it's been going downhill ever since.
That would be
Let's
him,
not forget
right?
that Greg was the guy who played the pilot on the plane on Lost, and he is a funny dude. Anyway, these events at the museum are incredible. Next up is Friday Night Lights in April. I included for your viewing pleasure a picture of me with the lovely and radiant Hayden Panettiere. Oh. Keep up the great work of informing us of these great events, and Jacob did send along a picture of him, and he's just pawing the poor cheerleader.
Oh.
It's actually really, really sad.
Paw the cheerleader, save the world?
Yeah.
These events at the Museum of Television Radio, we've been giving away tickets to are amazing. And later on this morning, I think, we are going to give you a chance to be there for The Simpsons. So that's coming up in just a few minutes here on K-Rock.
Yesterday, we were talking about great bad movies. The category is bad movies that you love. And I got a whole bunch of email. I'm just going to read a few of them. John writes, moving violations. A group of careless and unlucky drivers are sentenced to attend traffic school. The cop and judge running the traffic school devise an evil scheme to sell their cars via auction and keep the money for themselves. It has Jennifer Tilly, Bob Murray's brother, John, Fred Willard, and even the Where's the Beef Lady, an American classic.
Nice.
Here's one from Kelly, Chopping Mall. A group of teenagers that work in the mall all get together for a late-night party in one of the stores. The robot security system activates after a malfunction and goes on a killing spree. That sounds fantastic.
Never heard of that.
Best worst movie ever, guys? Skyscraper with Anna Nicole Smith.
Oh, yes.
Don't forget, I'm from Mexia, Texas, she says. God, I hate this movie, but when it comes on, my boyfriend and I can't stop watching. Cliff Wright's Death Race 2000. One of Sly's first roles with David Carradine in a cross-country race where they get extra points for running over people. Charles writes, Cool Runnings, worst best movie. Cool Runnings is about the Jamaican bobsled team.
That is a great movie.
I remember that one, yeah.
Psycho Mike nominated Gleaming the Cube as his best worst movie. And John from Van Nuys writes, I'll see Psycho Mike's Gleaming the Cube and raise him Thrashin' and Rad.
Oh, Rad. Rad with Gleaming the Cube with BMX bikes.
And finally, best worst movies, Vanessa writes, what? Bring It On is a bad movie? if loving bad movies is wrong, I don't want to be right.
Very nice.
Vanessa.
Very nice. All right, and let me close with one more. And occasionally people will send us an email that we are convinced must be some sort of a joke. They're pranking on us or something like that.
Right.
Lisa, I'm going to read this to you, and you tell me if you think it sounds legit.
Okay.
Dear Kevin and Bean, it begins. On behalf of Donald J. Trump, NBC, and the Miss USA organization, we would like to request Kevin to be our show announcer for the 2007 Miss USA pageant. The pageant will be broadcast live on NBC from 9 to 11 o'clock from the Kodak Theater in Los Angeles on Friday, March the 23rd. Kevin would announce our opening titles and all of our bumpers throughout the two-hour telecast. The date is quickly approaching. I would like to hear your thoughts sooner rather than later. Thanks. And it comes from Suze, who sent this email.
Money sent that.
It has to be former Space Guy Money playing a joke,
totally.
Right?
Because or Jimmy Kimmel.
I can tell you this. I deleted it just thinking, oh, that's funny.
They are requesting Kevin to be the voice announcer for the Miss USA pageant after they heard him on the Grammys?
Wow. What is happening to this world? What do you want the circus?
Coming up, Shakira and Wycliffe Jean. Mary J. Blige in a once-of-a-lifetime performance. To vote for Africa Miranda, send the number 1. To vote for Brenda Radney, send the number 1. Send the number 2. Coming up, Shakira and Wycliffe Jean. Mary J. Blige in a once... God damn it. Mary J. Blige in a once-in-a-lifetime performance. Sorry, people. I think it's... Yeah, I also think I screwed up the word 1. Not sure how you do that, but...
Wow. Kevin,
are you going to be the guy going, it's Miss Ohio, ladies and gentlemen, and representing the great strait of Wyoming? I mean, come on. Please say no for the good of America.
Listen.
Don't do it.
I'm not out there trying to dig up this work. I'm telling you that right now.
It just falls in your lap?
Well, this did. I thought it was a joke, so I deleted it.
When you're that talented, though, what are you going to do?
What are you going to do? People want you when you're that good. You know, they come after you.
Apparently, producer Lightning is trying to get to the bottom of it and may have lined up the executive producer of the 2007 Miss USA pageant to speak with us later so we can find out if it's somebody just yanking your chain or if really you're going to be the guy up there going, yes, it's Mississippi. Oh, damn it.
Donald Trump will go, you're fired.
All right. Ralph is here with the show. Ralph is not here with the show, Ms. Beat. We are going to give you your chance to join us at the Museum of Television and Radio, not us so much as the people behind the brilliant show called The Simpsons. Ralph, we're going to be giving those tickets away just after the news, right?
Maybe.
That's correct. 1-800.
Anything in particular we're looking for? Just Simpsons fans. That's all
Simpsons
we need,
fans,
right?
Yeah, it'll be your Simpsons trivia questions, basically.
All right. 1-800-520-1067. You can call now. We'll do that just after the top of the hour. First, it's time for the Showbiz Beat with Ralph.
You know, I feel guilty sometimes at the hits that the gay folk take from the show sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Well, me too, Bean, for God's sakes.
Because I've got a lot of gay friends, having been in the entertainment industry for a couple years. Mm-hmm. And so I like to give back to the community once in a while.
Okay.
So I'd like to do that by doing a story just for them.
Okay.
Here you go. Right. Disney's High School Musical
has announced
that they will be launching High School Musical on ice.
That's a joke, right?
August 31st in Lakeland, Florida will be the first performance, and then it will travel to 100 cities in the next year, Disney said today.
I need to be at all of them. I need to take off starting August 31st.
Of course, it was a successful TV movie, CD soundtrack, live touring show. Two sequels are in the works. And now High School Musical, The Ice Tour.
This is what Bean is excited about. Okay.
In my defense, you have to keep your head in the game. I mean, that's a good message.
I think he was saying keep your head in the gay.
Yeah, I think so, too.
That's what he was saying. Wow.
Makes American Idol look like...
Yes, it does.
Pavarotti.
Well, it's very good news. Thank you for that, Ralph.
You're welcome, my gay friend.
Bean, what's wrong with you?
Come on.
Leonardo DiCaprio and his Israeli supermodel girlfriend, Raffaele, are apparently just... Setting the world on fire over there in Jerusalem.
Is that right?
People are going nuts. Paparazzi are stalking them by the hundreds. Fights are breaking out. It's just madness. Wow. Apparently, two of his bodyguards have been arrested because they got into a fight with photographers as Leonardo and Barr were trying to get into a van when they were going doing some sightseeing in the old city of Jerusalem. Scuffle broke out, and two members of DiCaprio's security team were popped and taken in for questioning.
I saw some of this video, the paparazzi just all over them when they're trying to visit the Wailing Wall. It's insane how aggressive hundreds of cameramen are getting to be around some of these celebrities now.
Isn't there one place that you should
think,
the paparazzi
right?
would leave them alone?
The
Maybe
Holy
the
Land?
Wailing Wall.
Maybe the Holy Land would
a
be
place a place with bit. Wailing in the title.
Yeah, you'd think, right?
Come on.
They were wailing, man. They're wailing on that dude.
My God.
Leo, a picture, please.
That's all you heard, man. Crazy.
Jennifer Hudson's turned a bit of a diva. Apparently, the Oscar award-winning actress. Since she's won the award, she's been difficult to deal with. Here's a girl who had no career before this movie came out. Now, maybe too much too soon. She was supposed to do the Soul Train Awards. Produced, of course, by Don Cornelius, the creator of Soul Train. And then she backed out. She canceled. So Don Cornelius pulled a Don Corleone and got on the phone with Clive Davis and said, yeah, can you work something out here? So apparently Davis got on the phone and told her, get your ass out to L.A. He promptly hung up and she showed up.
You don't want to cross Cornelius.
Or Clive.
Or Clive, either way.
Those guys have some clout in this
town. You're such a fat ass that when you walk down the street, people go, God damn it, that's a big fat ass!
Yeah.
It remains to be seen, but Jennifer Hudson could just be one of those actors who was lucky enough to be in the right place at the right time for the right role, and who knows whether she's going to end up with a career or not. This could be it for
her. Absolutely. She could be the Marissa Tomei of Black Chicks.
Yeah.
Hey, fatty! You are fat!
Speaking of which, Burger King has promised Jennifer a lifetime supply of Whoppers. She's got a free all-you-can-eat pass for life.
That's what she needs.
Apparently, it all stems from the fact that she said her time on American Idol was akin to her time as a teenager working at Burger King. Saying if she was better at that job, she might not have been in Dreamgirls either. And they said, all right, she's kind of putting us down, but we don't care. Give her free food anyway.
Exactly.
Because we're in the press. So, take that for what it's worth. And Mandy Moore has officially dumped DJ AM.
Shalom. Oh, King of Mexico.
Good news for the king.
He's got a shot now.
Yeah. Although he's really on the Veronica Mars tip lately. It's all about that.
Yeah, that's true.
The singer-turned actress had been dating Nicole Richie's ex-boyfriend for a couple of months, but New York Post says it's all over. Rumor has it that he was just looking for a famous girlfriend to raise his profile. She caught wind of that fact and didn't like being used.
Really?
Yeah. Because once you've dated Nicole Richie, once you've been in that red-hot
stratosphere,
red-hot spotlight of the Nicole Richie residual fame, how do you not live that life anymore?
It's practically being Brangelina, isn't it, without her?
It's like being Leo and Barr in the Holy Land. That's what it's like, my friend.
I would just be afraid I would just crush Nicole Richie just by taking her, like you take her hand to hold her hand, it would just break off, you know? It would be too scary.
She's not a mummy, she's just skinny.
Well, she's just so frail.
Her bones are skinny. That's how skinny
she
is.
It's not going to come off.
How do you know?
Well, I'm afraid. That's all
I'm saying. I'm sorry.
You got time for a quick email?
Not if it involves a certain song.
Shut up.
All right.
Yes? Ralph, I thought you might like some inside information regarding Sylvester Stallone's legal hassles with the Australian government. I mentioned yesterday that they are holding him in questioning for 48 vials of human growth hormones they found in his luggage at the airport.
That's right.
In Australia when he was promoting Rocky Balboa. This goes on to say, as you know, Sly was stopped by customs when it was discovered he had 48 vials of HGH in his luggage. What you may not know is the Aussies were tipped off to his stash by the very same performance-enhancing drug dealers that sold them to him. Apparently, they were upset by the fact that Stallone had yet to give them the money he owed them for the juice, so they ratted him out to the custom agents.
Huh.
When asked about this, the dealers claimed, yeah, Rocky didn't pay us.
Awesome, and it's as fresh as yesterday's headlines.
I love this song.
didn't pay us. Or didn't pay us.
Rocky didn't pay us.
It ain't natural.
That's from Archibald.
Archibald.
Sure it is.
Yes.
We have a listener named Archibald.
Archibald. We do now.
Wow.
Thank you, Archibald. Today's celebrity birthday is Chris Klein from American Pie and other feature films is 28 years old today. Billy Crystal, actor and comedian, is 59. Quincy Jones, legendary music producer, television producer as well. I think he's even done a couple movies. 74 years old today, and Michael Caine, classic British actor who also plays Alfred in the Batman Begins movie. He'll be in the sequel as well. He's 74.
So good in Children of Men, too, for folks who haven't seen that yet. Just a terrific role.
Michael Caine?
Yes.
Yeah, so good in either The Prestige or The Illusionist, too.
Whichever one he's in.
Those are the same, right?
Yeah, same movie.
But whichever one he was in, same thing. Good. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the strip as beat.
KROQ at 11 minutes after 7 o'clock.
Woo! Red Hot Chili Peppers!
All right, Homer, stand by. The Museum of Television Radio does a series of your favorite TV shows where you get to spend an evening with creators and cast members, and The Simpsons is up tomorrow night at the Directors Guild down there on Sunset. If you're a Simpsons fan, and by the way, who isn't? How long has the show been on now, Homer? You're in your, what, 18th season, I want to say?
We've been on for 18 years.
You don't know, okay, do you? 18 years.
Wait, 20!
All right.
31 years!
Okay, 31 years of The Simpsons.
Hold on, two.
If you're a fan, you can call us right now at 1-800-520-1067. We are looking at our contestants who may know their Simpsons to win their way in to that great event tomorrow night.
All right. Let's begin with Brandon in La Crescenta. Good morning, Brandon.
How's it going, guys?
Hello, Brandon. Here's your question. Who founded my hometown of Springfield?
Jebediah Springfield.
That's correct.
Nicely done.
Look at that. Well done. All right.
Lisa, you'll do a drawing
course. I didn't know that.
They watched the show.
I didn't even know that.
They watched the show, Homer.
Oh.
All right.
Smarter than me.
So we're going to have two winners at the end, two pairs of tickets for folks who can get in. Homer, you have more questions. We'll go now to Chris in Glendale. Hey, Chris, good luck with your Simpsons question. Listen up.
Chris, what was the name of Bart's elephant? Hello?
Hey, Chris.
Is anyone there?
I haven't heard a peep
Chris
this yet. Okay,
hello?
Let's move on.
I think we can ask the same question again, right?
Go!
Tiffany in Brentwood. Good morning.
Morning.
Hi, Tiffany.
I'm all right. How are you?
What was the name of Bart's elephant?
Stampy.
Stampy!
Woohoo!
Stampy the elephant!
We have some Simpsons fans here. That's good. All right.
Yes, we do.
Let's go to Blake in Los Angeles. Good morning, Blake.
Hey, good morning.
Here's your Simpsons question.
Blake, huh? Excellent. What is the Springfield holiday when town residents club snakes to death?
Whacking day.
Correct!
Unbelievable.
Excellent.
Who are these people? Mr. Barnes, who are these people?
They're evil people with no time on their hands.
With a lot of time on their hands.
They're the idle poor.
Mark in Pico Rivera. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, Mark, how you doing?
Here's your question.
What was the name of the boy band that included Bart, Nelson, Milhouse, and Ralph?
Oh, man.
Don't be the first person to not get it, Mark.
I believe I might be.
You know, Brandon, Tiffany, and Blake are all laughing at you right now on hold.
Hey, good for them. No.
I hear a buzz.
Hey, Homer, what is the name of the band?
Party Potty.
Party
the
Posse.
The Party Potty.
Woohoo! All right, Robert in Ontario. Good morning. Hello, Robert. This is going well.
Robert.
Yeah, what's happening with
Robert,
the
Robert, answer me!
I wonder if people hang up as they think they're not going to be able to get these, like I didn't get the last couple or something. I don't know. Mike in Sherman Oaks. Good morning.
Morning, guys. How are you doing?
Very good, thank you.
Very well, Mike. Here's your question. Bart's full name is Bartholomew J. Simpson. What does the J stand for?
J.
No. Wrong. Mine stands for J. Bart's is Jojo.
Jojo?
Bartholomew Jojo Simpson.
Okay, I didn't know that, Homer. Well done.
Let's go to Javier in Riverside. Good morning, Javier.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Javier, excellent. Which K-Rock artist is named after an obscure Simpsons character?
Fall Out Boy.
That's correct.
Look at you. Nicely done.
Fall Out Boy.
Well done.
I love that rock and roll music.
You love them?
Rudy Valley.
No.
Engelbert Humperdinck.
Nope.
No.
That's not rock and roll.
Oh. All right. Do we have time for another?
One more. Let's do one more. John in Sherman Oaks. Good morning.
Hello. How you doing?
Very good. Thank you.
Oakley and Oakley.
Here's your question.
Which longtime Tim Burton collaborator and former K-Rock artist created the Simpsons theme song?
Danny Elfman.
Danny Elfman is right.
You're rightly right.
Look at that. So we got your Brandon, we got your John, we got Tiffany, we got Blake, we got Javier, all in the drawing. Two winners this morning. Lisa, what can you do for us?
All right.
Lisa. Lisa.
I'm getting it.
Pick a name. Pick two names.
I am.
Why don't you do what I tell you?
How long does it take to draw
What's wrong with
I
you?
I wind him up in little tiny circles.
You're late at work, and okay. You can't pick names. Oh, look at me. I do traffic, but I'm retarded.
Okay, Blake in L.A. and Javier in Riverside.
All right. We got a winner!
Woo-hoo!
Whoa, Nelly!
You're both going to the night. Thank you very much for playing Simpsons Trivia. Thank you, Homer.
Oh, where's the beer?
I can't see anyone hauling him into court. If he tells something like he did yesterday on a show that kind of sounds like a joke, that's about as close as you can expect from Sam. Because he's retarded.
I'm sorry, I have a text. Uh-oh. Just a second.
Oh.
Let me get back to that.
We're doing a radio show, what? Kevin. Can you put it away for
Listen,
a minute?
Listen, well, I can't tell when people text me. I can't tell them not to text me during certain hours.
That's obnoxious, Kevin.
What about when you were at the movies the other day?
Oh,
and
that was so funny.
Turned out to be in the same theater with Lisa.
We made this chick so mad. I was holding up my two-way, so it was all bright in her face and whatnot.
She kicked the back of your chair.
She was kicking my chair. It was awesome. And I was, oh, hey, that's a text. I got it.
Well, Kevin, you don't know how lucky you are that Lisa showed some restraint because, you know, her hands are legal lethal weapons, right?
Absolutely.
She does have the Fist of Fury, remember? She's
sure.
a green belt.
Yeah.
Could have killed you right there.
Lisa, what film were you at the other day?
Zodiac.
Was
it Zodiac, okay. Which is a 2-hour and 40-minute movie,
about a killer.
About a killer, yes. And five guys sat in front of me and my friend, and like 30 minutes into the movie, one of them started texting his friend. Yeah.
Were they texting each other?
Because
if it were Dave, he would be texting the guy to his left.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. No, because they were talking.
No, because they were talking. So clearly they weren't texting each other.
Okay.
And I leaned over and said, "That's really distracting." And he said,
"Bitch.
Oh, sorry." Like that, right?
Yeah.
So he kind of hides it next to his body, and then pretty soon it moves back out again where I can see it. And I said, "Still distracting."
And as you're yelling that, by the way, you are in no way considering the other patrons in the theater who aren't you or them who are trying to enjoy the film, right? You're just making as much noise as you want at this point.
Well, yeah. I figure everybody's distracted. It's that stadium seating. You can see those stupid things from 20 rows away. It's really annoying.
Well,
so,
I mean, I agree with you. There's no reason to have a screen of a phone or a text message or anything like that in a movie theater. I agree. It is distracting. Sure.
So then maybe a half hour later, maybe not that long. I don't know. I mean, this crap went on the whole movie. The guy next to that guy starts texting. And my friend, who is not as polite as me, leans over and says, "Shut your phone off."
Nice.
And the guy says, "No." And then it's like, what do you do?
See, this is what's interesting because you're at an impasse at this point, and we're going to take your calls on bad movie theater experiences, fights that have broken out between you and somebody else in the audience, or you were in a theater and you saw some people getting into it. You can call us at 1-800-520-1067. If you ask and they say no, you are left with very few recourses. Kevin suggested yesterday you could have gotten up and moved in the theater.
See, to me, I would recognize that guy immediately. If he's already doing that, he doesn't care that he's distracting you and he's not going to change. So I'll just move to have a better movie-going experience.
Now there were people around us. It wasn't an empty theater.
Or I'll karate chop his head right off his shoulders. Either way.
It wasn't an empty theater.
You said you had plenty of room to move,
though. It was in the afternoon, right. But there were people sitting behind us and beside us, and so we would have disturbed a lot of people by getting up and moved. And we were probably halfway through the movie at that point.
Right.
Which kind of changes that option, I think.
The other option that they suggest, and I think you'll see where this falls apart, is get up out of your seat and leave the theater. Miss some of the movies so you can go track down a movie theater employee to come in and say the same thing that you were saying. But, I mean, you're basically asking Dewan to come in and fight your battles for you. That's the guy that's working at the movie theater, right?
I've seen that happen. Yeah. I've seen someone leave a theater and bring in some pimply-faced kid who stands there for 5 minutes to see if the people who are talking are still talking. And they see them, so they stop talking.
Until they leave.
He doesn't want a confrontation, so he leaves, and then they start talking again. Yeah.
Oh, so you got another text?
Hang on.
I'm going to...
What a bitch.
So, if I'm in front of you, I tell all my friends to take out their two ways as well.
Of course you would.
I would. I would say, come on, all of us at the same time. 3, 2, 1.
We are going to take your calls, 1-800-520-1067, your experiences in the theater like this. Here's a quick email before the break. My husband works in movie theater. He came home one night to tell me about two grown-ass women who got into a fist fight in the ladies' room after the movie ended. What was their fight about, you ask?
Well, one wanted the armrest down and the other one wanted it up.
Are you kidding?
Sandy, yes. They got to do a fist fight over it.
Oh, my God.
Really? You care that much about the armrest? Unless it's an extremely fat person, it doesn't really matter that much.
I got an email from a guy who brings a little water pistol.
Oh, I love that.
And if they won't shut it, he shoots them.
He brings a water pistol to every
That's
movie?
Cool.
Yes.
That rules. I'm going to bring a paint gun. A BB gun. All right. Your fights at the movie theaters. We already have a bunch of people on hold because, well, let's face it, our audience are the fighting type.
Yes.
It happens.
So 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls when we get back.
We're going to go to your calls right now at 1-800-520-1067 about fights in movie theaters. If you're just joining us, we are both very disappointed in Lisa May. She's got the ninja skills, and if ever there's an opportunity to use them, it's when you've got some asshats text messaging in front of you in a movie theater. Lisa, what are you waiting for?
Well, the truth is that I scared them enough that they stopped. They could see when you have those kind of skills, people sense there's danger in the air.
Yeah. Yeah. So and you didn't have to break out the green belt.
Exactly.
All right. Okay.
Fantastic.
All right. Let's. Why don't we start with Danielle in Arcadia, because this is what we're talking about. This is. She's got a story, as I understand it, of somebody who just doesn't even care that there are other people trying to enjoy the movie that they paid for too. Danielle, welcome to the Kevin Amin Show on K Rock.
Hey guys, what's up?
Hi Danielle.
What movie were you seeing first of all?
Black Snake Moan.
Okay. Oh, all right. Okay. And what happened?
Okay. So, I don't know if you guys have seen the movie, but there's a lot of sex scenes.
Right.
You know, she's kind of a nymphomaniac.
Right.
Now I'm going to the movie, though.
Well, so during one of these kind of crazy sex scenes, I'm sorry, what?
No, we didn't say anything. Go ahead.
Oh, during one of these crazy sex scenes, this guy starts standing up, who, by the way, walked in the middle of the movie, all random.
Right.
And he's dancing and touching himself while this sex scene is going on.
Oh, yeah. No.
Are cracking up. We're like, wow, this is kind of random. And there's this one other couple in the movie theater, and the girl goes down, and she starts talking to the guy, and she's like, dude, sit down. Like, you know, you're kind of touching yourself, and everyone's just trying to watch the movie. And he's like, hey, you're kind of cute.
Nice.
He starts flirting with her. And he's trying to get her number. And the other guy, who was the girl's boyfriend, throws a Coke at him.
Now it's getting interesting.
He's like, hey, man, you're ruining my dancing. Like, I want to dance.
Wow.
And he's still trying to get this girl's number. And then he throws Mike and Dykes at him.
Yeah, you can't really use that language, Danielle, obviously.
Right. You can't say the S word. Hey, get right to the end of the fight. How did it end up?
Well, he goes down there and he's talking, you know, smack to him. And she basically says to him, you know, oh, I'm going to give you my number. And she tells her boyfriend, you know, stop talking crap to him. And she gives him his number, and they leave, and the guy's all mad.
Okay, she gave the dancer the number?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That works.
I want to throw something at Danielle myself, by the way.
That works. You just dance and touch yourself, and a girl will give you her number.
Well, I guess so. If you don't mind, you know, getting pelted with Mike and Ike's at the same time, right?
All right, let's go to Stephen and Whittier. Good morning, Stephen.
Hey,
Lisa. Hi, Stephen.
All right, let me just, so that we can speed this up a bit, go ahead and start your story about 5 to 10 seconds before the fight.
Okay, well, there was these little kids sitting behind me, and I was looking at a cartoon movie or something, so it's to be expected, like junior high. And they were all there with little girls, and they were all giggling and laughing, kicking this, being totally extremely obnoxious.
And what did you do?
I just reached over right behind me, much to the shock and dismay of my friends, and I pulled one of the little boys over the seat to where I was, and I was like, hey, either you shut those little girls up or I will. And I released them, and after that, it was just total silence and bliss. And got
That's funny. Pull the kid into your seat. I love that.
You can really scare little kids.
Yeah. Until their dad is a 6'9", 350-pound man. Wow. All right. Let's see. Where do we want to go? Let's go to Gretchen, who is calling from Huntington Beach. Good morning, Gretchen.
Hey.
Hey.
So I was back in Philly to see the Da Vinci Code, and there was no seats in the theater. So I was with my friend Billy. He's often here. You go sit over there. The couple was kind of like sitting there feeding their face. They were all spread out. There was one seat next to them.
Right.
And I kind of, like, I'm very polite. Like, I just kind of pointed to the seat, like, can I get over there? And the lady doesn't even barely look up at me. She just kind of shakes her head no. And I'm like, oh. And there was nowhere to sit.
Right.
And that's a long-ass movie. So I'm like, oh, my God. So I had to stand and watch the movie. I was so mad.
And the theater was packed. So at the end of the movie, I pointed out to my friend, I go, there's that bitch that wouldn't let me sit. And he's so loud. He goes, that's her. That's the bitch that wouldn't let you sit next to her. And I'm like, oh, my God.
Nice.
So her husband, who's like 4'10", comes over and he's like, you should really, you know, find out the whole story before you call somebody a bitch. And I was like, that pissed me off.
What was the whole story?
Well, yeah.
I go, because no one ever sat down next to them the whole time. And so they were just making it up because they didn't feel like sharing the row. And that was so ignorant. So I go, I do know the whole story, and you're still a bitch.
Nice.
And I thought.
And did you throw down? Did you start pounding her into the ground?
I wanted to.
And a little kid jumped up and said,
oh, shit, here we go. It's on. Race war. Race war's on, everybody. It's going down. Shit is going down.
I don't think so. No.
All right.
Let's talk to Eric and Torrance. Now we're getting into an actual fight, some actual physical interaction here.
Squirt gun deal.
Hey, Eric.
You better be careful. Some of those cheapos, they squirt off to the left. You might hit the huge guy in front of you.
Who's he talking to? I'm not sure. Eric?
Hello? Anyway, sorry. Yeah, at least my story ends with actual physical beating about
it. Eric, are you doing your own radio show somewhere?
We're sorry to interrupt, but.
That's okay. Smoke up.
Okay. Wait, did we call you or did you call us?
I'm not sure.
Did it sound like he was in the middle of a conversation to you?
Yeah, okay. It totally did. Eric, what movie were you at?
RoboCop 1.
Okay. Okay, so this is a timely story. And then what happened?
Yeah, so at least it was Peter Weller's best work, aside from Buckaroo Banzai. These guys are just, you know, making stupid-ass jokes through the whole movie. And I told them, you know, a bunch of times, look, you better shut up. You better shut up. And they just didn't, of course. So at the end of the movie, I stood up, put my hand in between their heads, and just started smacking them. Like, and of course, you know, people who talk during movies are all pussies, so their incredibly violent responses to say, dude, what's wrong with you, man? What are you doing?
Well, you did the right thing, Eric. Lisa did the wrong thing, as far as I'm convinced.
Exactly. And by the way, I'm going to start listening to Eric's show. It's actually more entertaining than ours. Thank you for the call. So what are we talking about? American Idol after the top of the hour? What's the deal here, Ralph?
No, Eric Idol.
Eric Idol.
Legendary
British comedian. Comedy master.
I was confused about Eric that. He's the Spamalot guy. We'll be talking to him about that show coming to Las Vegas on the way from K-Rock, plus more chances for it to qualify for Nine Inch Nails in Norway. 7:55 now. Hey, it's time for Ralph Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Tori Spelling and her stolen husband, Dean McDermott.
Had a baby yesterday at Cedars-Sinai here in Los Angeles. Liam Aaron McDermott is the little boy's name. And apparently, Tori's mother, Candy, who she really hasn't had a great relationship with since the death of her father, Aaron Spelling, was there at the hospital, and they're putting bygones behind them and apparently patching up their rocky relationship. So it's all sunshine and smiles over there in the Spelling household.
Sure it is.
Until that bed and breakfast reality series airs, and then everyone's going to kill themselves. And they realize what hell they had wrought on television.
They're down in where, like Fallbrook, California, or some little town like that is where they're trying to make this B&B work?
Yeah, B&S.
Good luck with that.
More likely.
Hell of a show.
Hey, the Iranians have something else to bitch about. Is it Iranians or Iranians?
Iranians, I think. I thought.
Iranians? Is it Iranians or Iranians?
The people from Iran.
Those people.
Persians.
They're bitching at the U.S.
Really?
We're going to go to war over a movie, apparently. They're angry about 300. The movie that debuted last weekend to record box office numbers.
Because that's when the Persian army attacked Sparta.
Right, and the 300 Spartans took on the Persian army.
Are they upset that the king of Persia was a very feminine-looking dude with the lowest voice in the world?
No, they claim that... I thought that was Mark Thompson. They claim that it's part of the U.S. psychological war aimed at the Iranian culture.
The U.S. did not make this movie, right? They understand that some Hollywood film director made it.
You mean it wasn't a product of the Pentagon?
No.
Wasn't
that from the State Department? No, of course not.
That's maybe strange. They're just taking for granted we run things like they do, which means if a movie's made, it's because they said make it.
Yeah. Apparently, the art advisor to President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad says, following the Islamic Revolution in Iran,
Hollywood and cultural authorities in the U.S. initiated studies to figure out how to attack Iranian culture. Certainly, the recent movie is a product of such studies.
If there's anybody in American society that is not helping ramp up toward war in Iran, it's the people in Hollywood.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the opposite.
Yeah, that's true. They don't want to stoke that fire at all.
No. We are more likely to actually attack Iran than we are to attack their culture or their crappy wars.
The Greeks, on the other hand, said, "Suck on that, bitch!" Which was an
odd
comment from their government, which I thought was a little severe. Well, we're finding out more and more details about the tragic life of comedian Richard Jenny.
Oh, what do we find out now?
This is the comedian who, over the weekend, committed suicide, and we were all wondering what was going on and what was causing, what could cause a situation so dire that would seem like a solution to him. Well, his family has confirmed that he struggled with severe clinical depression and had bouts of psychotic paranoia.
Wow.
So, he said, the family said, despite the coroner's office saying publicly that a suicide ruling will take 2 weeks pending an autopsy, Richard did take his own life. It's hard to explain. He had just enjoyed one of his most financially rewarding years to date, his family said.
Wow.
But it was just clinical depression, bouts, coupled with bouts of psychotic paranoia.
That he wasn't getting the right drugs, clearly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sweet!
He said he was not down or depressed or blue. He was ill.
Right.
And there was nothing rational, predictable about the disease or his reaction to it, so.
As they say, dying is easy. Comedy is hard.
Actually, they're both pretty tough. Angelina Jolie's adding to her collection of children.
Excellent.
Looks like just a few weeks from now, she'll be adopting her new son out of Vietnam this time. She really is going to get one from each country.
She is. Mm-hmm.
She's a collection. She's going to mount them on a wall.
Like I want her to adopt me.
Like collectible Slurpee cups with comic characters on them or something. Apparently, the Vietnamese Ministry of Justice's International Adoption Department has cleared her application, and it'll just be a couple weeks before she picks up the new one.
She should just go to the UN and have them send them there. Save her a lot of time.
I have a question. I know people who have adopted kids from overseas, and it seems to take a couple of years to do it. How? I haven't heard any reports of Angelina Jolie walking in there with $1 million for the Vietnam government or something like that. How does she do it so quickly?
She is a UN ambassador.
She's hot.
And I think
she's hot. That's true.
She's hot and she's famous. Yeah. And apparently, the actress's application has been sped up through the process.
I guess that's what it is maybe it's good publicity for others to come and adopt babies, so the government feels like it's worth doing, maybe. Yeah.
So, there you go. And Jennifer Hudson, who recently won the Academy Award for her appearance in Dreamgirls, has become a bit of a diva these days. She's being hard to work with, that's what the stories are. And she's also received a lifetime's worth of cheeseburgers from Burger King. Because she used to work there, and she mentioned them in a recent interview.
At least she won't go hungry.
So they're happy. Trust me. Have you seen her? She's not going hungry anytime
That's
soon.
That's our fear.
Hey, buddy! You are fat!
She's not eating enough.
What's she going to do with all the Whoppers? Well, here's an idea. Music legend Aretha Franklin wants her to play her in an upcoming film based on her life.
Wow. That would take some cheeseburgers.
It'd take a lot more cheeseburgers than Burger King has.
She could play the younger Aretha, maybe, before she gained the last 200 or 300 pounds.
Queen of Soul appeared backstage at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony on Monday night, and she talked about Jennifer Hudson being the ideal choice to portray her. So she could have another award-winning movie role in her future.
Jennifer had this to say.
I like meat.
Let me tell you something about Miss Aretha Franklin, by the way, if you haven't seen her on the TV lately. It's gone beyond she's fat now. She cannot walk anymore.
Yeah. They had to
help her out on stage and off of stage. She can't even stand up on her own without help.
Oh, God.
That's how huge she is now.
They had to airlift her out of New York, by the way, when she was done with her appearance. They just hooked her up to a chopper.
Wow.
Left out of the park.
Couple of choppers.
Yeah. Speaking of divas, Miss Diana Ross was on American Idol last night.
Why do we have to call her Miss all the time, people?
Miss Jackson, if you're nasty.
All right.
Yeah. I thought she was really good, didn't you, Ralph?
I thought she was really good and seemed really nice, and I always heard she was such a bitch.
Yeah.
Anyway, the reason I bring it up is because one of my favorite American Idol moments of all time happened last night.
Really?
Oh.
I thought you weren't watching.
His wife watches. He's son of a bitch.
I can't avoid it. I can't avert my eyes when it's on.
And it's the top 12 now, Kevin.
You live in a one-room apartment?
Well, I'll tell you, that the Melinda Doolittle, this chick really kind of caught my attention.
The chick with no neck?
She has no neck, but she's got a great voice. Anyway, she's bitching to Ryan Seacrest. He says, "What's the worst part about doing your about doing the show?" And she said, "It's the shoes. These high heel shoes are killing me. I'm not used to them. I'm a sneakers and sweatpants girl because
right.
I'm really not used to these high heel shoes." And so Ryan tries to be funny and ad lib.
Oh no!
And he wings over to Simon Cowell and he goes, "Well, you know all about that, don't you, Simon?"
Oh no, you're kidding!
And Simon says, "I thought you were the one who knew about that, Ryan." And Ryan Seacrest goes, "Hey, stay out of my closet, man." And Cowell says, "Why don't you come out of it?"
Oh, yes.
Nice!
Left hook, left hook, left hook, right cross. He was literally bleeding after that exchange. Ryan was just trickling blood out of his nose.
I said, "That's awesome."
I didn't think this could get any worse, but apparently it knows no bottom.
He just told Ryan Seacrest to come out of the closet.
I like
We've all been telling him that for years.
Spectacular.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Quincy Jones, speaking of American Idol.
Why does Ryan try to fight with him? Because he gets bloodied every time he gets in close.
Every time he tries to go off the cue cards and say anything that comes out of his own head, it falls.
It's awful.
It goes over like a turd in a punch bowl, as they used to say back in Philadelphia.
He's gotten okay at reading cards. Just read them.
Yeah. And if he asks one more contestant, "How did you feel out there tonight?" I'm gonna hit him with a bowling pin.
Well, I got 2 hours.
There's gotta be another question. There's gotta be another question, though, right?
Yes, I agree. He's a very competent host. He really is a fine host. But you're right. He can't be funny. He's got no comedy in him at all.
No. Quincy Jones, musician, producer, legend, 74 years old today. Michael Caine, one of my favorite actors, is 74 years old today. You ever see the movie he made with Sean Connery called The Man Who Would Be King?
No.
Oh, it's a great guy's movie.
No.
Should rent it sometime. It's terrific. Billy Crystal, actor and comedian, is 59 years old today. And Chris Klein has been in American Pie and a bunch of other films. He's 28. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
All right, it's Wednesday. I want to say it's Wednesday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Lisa, stand by. We're about to talk about musical theater.
Yeah! Always look on the light side of life.
Look, if I argue with you, I must take up a contrary position.
But it didn't just say no, it didn't.
Yes, it is.
No, it didn't.
Isn't it awfully nice to have a penis? Isn't it frightfully good to have a dog?
Your wife, a goer, eh?
No, to me. That's nuts. No, to me. Say no more. No, to me.
Are you insinuating something?
Oh, yes.
What got you egg, bacon, spam, and sausage?
That's got spam in it.
Not as much as spam, egg, sausage, and spam.
Could I have egg, bacon, spam, and sausage without the spam? I don't like spam!
Spam.
So, finally, a show that we can all be excited about, Monty Python's Spamalot. You heard about it, now you can see it. It's in Las Vegas, officially opening up on Sunday, March 31st. The man behind the legend, ladies and gentlemen, Eric Idle on the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous T-Rock right now. Good morning, Mr. Idle.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us. Very excited. So, Monty Python's Spamalot's going to be at the Wynn Las Vegas. You're in preview performances right now. Is this the same show, same cast that had been running on Broadway for a while?
Not the same cast. It's not. It's the same show, though. Yeah. I mean, we have our own cast there. We have John O'Hurley playing King Arthur.
Awesome.
Lisa's got to be excited. You know, just a little background on this show. We don't talk about theater, Broadway shows. Lisa goes all the time. We will not let her speak about them.
Well, back in September, we were in New York.
Yeah.
And all I cared about was seeing Spamalot.
Yeah.
And it was sold out. So.
Oh.
No, but I went because I knew someone who knew someone who knew someone, and it was so. Great. Oh, I just loved it.
But even then, we wouldn't let her talk about it.
No.
But now.
Exactly.
Bastards.
Eric, how long ago did you get the idea, hey, there's still such a fan base out there for the you know, for the TV show and the movies, maybe there's a way to make this happen live? Is this something you had been sitting on for a long, long time before you got it together?
You know, I got the idea about in the mid-90s. I was working on there was a Holy Grail DVD game, you know, on those strange computer games.
Right.
And I was in charge of that. And I thought, you know, if you can make a computer game, you can make a show out of this. It seemed to be suggesting songs all the time, like, I'm not yet dead.
Right, right.
Instantly a song. I'm surprised we didn't think of it at the time.
Yeah, it did take you a while, considering.
Yes, it did.
There's so many lines that people quote from your stuff, and especially from Holy Grail, I imagine. What's the line that people say to you the most when they meet you?
Well, this, to me personally, they say, you know, nice, no, I mean, say no more.
Yes.
Right.
They do it to me, but... The lines from Grail are things like, I fart in your general direction.
Yeah.
Sure.
Who would have known that would become a catchphrase?
Probably no one. Was it difficult to write an entire Broadway show based on that?
No, it was actually a great deal of fun, and I had help from my, you know, musical partner, John Dupre, and we wrote sort of lots of silly songs, and then, of course, I got Mike Nichols, which is not too shabby to get as a director. You
sure.
Know? So he's fabulous with writing, and this show that sort of found itself. I mean, it sort of turns around and looks at itself, like all Python things do. It sort of begins to recognize that it is a show. Like the films do that.
Right.
And the books do it, and the records do it. So I had to keep that sort of Python idea of looking back at yourself and recognizing that.
It has to be so shocking for you, though, to think about how long ago you were creating some of these characters and some of this dialogue. I mean, at the time...
Before I was born.
Yeah.
That's what's so shocking about it, you know.
But I mean...
I'm much younger now because I live in California.
Mm-hmm. That's how it
That'll
works.
Do it, right.
Fantastic.
But at the time...
It's 25 years since we Pythons actually worked together. That's
wow.
What really shocked me the other day.
So there's new generations of kids that are growing up, and for people who haven't discovered yet Monty Python and the Holy Grail, give them a little taste of what it is.
Me personally?
Yeah.
Well, it's rather silly. I don't think there's anybody who hasn't discovered it. I mean, there's kids get it now at 6 and 7 and 8. They go riding around pretending to be on coconuts. it's a King Arthur spoof, you know. Right. I mean, that's what it is. It's knights rounding up knights to go seek the Holy Grail. Because God has somehow misplaced a cup.
Well, sure, that'll happen.
The almighty and all-knowing, but he's lost one of his cups. And instead of just buying him another one, whatever he should have done, people write huge conspiracy theories about how it's hidden in his bloodline.
Sure.
Yes. Yeah. Did you have any kind of sense at the time that you were making that film all those years ago that it was the kind of comedy that would endure, or did you think, wow, let's just hope somebody comes to see the movie when it comes out?
Well, do you know what the budget was?
No.
Mm-mm.
No.
$400,000.
Wow. $400,000.
5 weeks. We shot every day of daylight there was. We were all in woolen armor with damp coming up to our knees.
Right.
We couldn't afford horses, so we used coconuts.
Right.
I mean, it was really, you know, grueling. If you see us crawling in the mud, that's real mud.
Wow.
Yeah. Pick will.
How long did it take to shoot the entire thing, Eric?
It was 5 weeks.
Five weeks.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, it's an example of what you can do if you don't have enough money.
Yeah, well.
And you have to use ingenuity. I think that's what's so, you know, that's what persists.
It probably took you 5 weeks to cast Spamalot, let alone make an entire movie in that span.
Well, we paid more for the lawyers on Spamalot.
Well, you have said in the past that you think a lot of theater has gotten to be terribly boring, and your show is really more of for our audience. It's for the rock and roll crowd that wants to get out and see something different, right?
Well, that's true, because, I mean, I do tours, and I do this sort of stuff on tour. We were testing out a lot of the Spamalot stuff, like the Taunter. And it brings in a completely different audience. It's that sort of Broadway thing. It isn't really Broadway at all. It's sort of, in anything, a spoof of Broadway.
Right.
And you guys always did sort of that feeling, that spoof of music hall theater and that kind of thing with, you know, the Lumberjacks, or whether even the song from the original movie, Knights of the Round Table. You're very aware of taking the air out of those sort of pretensions.
Yes, Python music is sort of redolent of everything else. You know, it's ripped off the same as our sketches are. You know, they come out of everything else. And that's what we try to keep going. And in fact, there's this completely ungrateful ripoff of Andrew Lloyd Webber. Who actually was one of the original contributors to the budget of the Holy Grail.
Oh, that's funny. This Spamalot that we're talking about is at the beautiful Wynn Las Vegas, which is my very favorite hotels of all the ones that we've stayed when we've gone out there for our Las Vegas shows. But it's in previews now, and the opening night is Saturday, March 31st. Eric, do you have any idea, for people who are planning ahead their calendar, any idea how long Spamalot will run in Las Vegas?
I'm looking for at least 2 weeks.
Okay, good.
I think
good luck with that.
Wow, you shoot big.
I do. But I think, you know, it's a no-win situation, as we say. No, it's. I think hopefully it'll run for a long time. We've got a huge advance, and people are coming in and they're laughing. And what tells me that they love it is they go and buy merchandise.
It's all about souvenirs.
All those souvenirs, you know, killer rabbits and the flying cows and things
sure.
like that.
Eric, with the success of Spamalot, I'm sure all the other Python fans want to know, do you have any other plans in the works to make musicals out of any of the other features?
Well, not really, because what we've actually written is, John and I have written an oratorio. based on the life of Brian.
Oh, great.
Which we're doing with a symphony orchestra and a choir. It's called Not the Messiah. He's a very naughty boy. And so it's just more of a piss take of Handel.
Right.
Well, this looks like it's fantastic, and a lot of us love to go to Las Vegas on the weekends. This looks like it would be a good night to include.
Absolutely.
Again, the Wynn Las Vegas, it's there starting at the end of this month, and it continues for at least 2 weeks.
Yes, hopefully.
So look forward to that. Eric, thanks very much for joining us today. Thanks, we appreciate it.
All
right, bye okay. now.
Bye-bye.
It is Wednesday morning, the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. That means last night was Pussycat Dolls night, and if Pussycat Dolls were on the TV, LaQuisha was watching and joins us on the phone right now. Good morning, girlfriend.
Who's going to be the next doll?
That's what I'm talking
That's what
about.
We're going to find out who's going to be the next Pussycat Doll.
Now, what channel is this on, LaQuisha?
This is on the CW.
Okay.
The Qua.
The CW.
Right.
And I tell you, I'm hooked on this show now. Because okay. nothing, you know me, nothing I like better than stupid young white women.
Yeah.
And this show got plenty of them. The pilot episode, the first episode last week, had all the girls throwing up.
That's true, yeah.
Right.
And this show made me want to throw up this week.
Oh, no.
So there's a theme going through all this stuff. For those of you who don't know, the plan is to add another Pussycat Doll to the super group of the Pussycat Dolls that already has like 29 members, I think.
Right. We're
going to add another one to it. No one's going to notice.
You can't have too many.
You can take one away and add one. Who's going to really know? Nobody knows who this damn band is. So you had nine girls living in a house together competing to see who's going to be the next Pussycat Doll. And naturally, they got to, it's like American Idol. They got to sing and dance, and they get judged at the end, and one girl gets sent home. Or as they say on the Pussycat Doll show, she's got to turn in her feather boa.
Oh, that's got to be heartbreaking.
That hurts. And we learned a little bit more about the girls last night, like Brittany, who's a stripper from Florida. She's 20 years old, and she got plans.
When I made it into the house, I was so ecstatic. I've always just had a drive about me ever since I was a little girl to, you know, follow your dreams and don't let anyone stop you. It's definitely, the competition definitely has begun.
Yeah, her dreams are to show her boobies and her butt to as many men as she possibly can.
That's a worthy dream.
Since she was a little girl, now at 20 years old, she's fulfilled her dream. We also met Asia, who's a black girl, which okay. I find pretty funny. Her name should be Africa. She's 18 years old. She's a dancer for the New York Knicks. And, oh, yeah, she's a mama. She got a baby already, a one-year-old baby.
Okay. Wow.
At 18 years old.
I never thought that I would have an opportunity like this. I did have a baby, you know, I had her when I was 17 years old. This is the first time that I'm away from my daughter, so it's hard for me, and I miss her a lot.
Well, I can't think of a better reason to abandon your one-year-old than to try to be a pussycat doll. At least if she's going to be out of her daughter's life, it's for something noble.
If she That's makes right. it, is she going to leave her forever?
She's going to dress up like a whore and dance on stage. Maybe take care of herself at that point.
LaQuisha, you're a woman. What is it about these girls that this is their dream, is to be a pussycat doll? Is there something else they could aspire to?
No.
What's wrong
okay.
with you, Bean?
All right.
Not these girls.
Come on.
Some other girls, maybe they got other choices. This is as good as it gets for these girls. Including Chelsea is I think from someplace down south, but anyway, she used to be fat.
Okay.
And now she's all that.
Excellent.
I used to be extremely overweight, like up to 192 pounds. I went from no friends, not being very attractive at all, to having the chance to be in one of the sexiest girl groups. It's unreal.
Yeah, don't let her win, because she start getting some of that pussycat money, you know where it's going to go.
Right in her stomach.
Right to Krispy Kreme.
That's right.
Next thing you know, you got a big old fat-ass pussycat doll on stage. Then what happens?
No one wants that.
And you got to find another pussycat doll to replace the fat pussycat doll.
You'd have to have a runner-up, yeah.
192 pounds.
Yeah.
That's big.
That's a tiger. That's a pussy tiger doll.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, they start breaking them up into groups of three. There's nine girls in three groups of three. They got to sing a Pussycat Doll song and learn the choreography and all that. And I'll tell you, ex-fatty Chelsea, she's not used to moving a lot because she used to be fat.
Right.
So she's not the best dancer. And this girl, Melissa S., oh, she don't like that being in the same group with her.
Pussycat Dolls are, like, known for their amazing dance talent. Chelsea's, like, extremely bad.
Well, at least she's sugarcoating it for us.
She's extremely bad.
Here's the thing. She says that to us, but to her, to Chelsea's face, she's all like, oh, you're so good. I love you. You're going to be there. And
wow.
We're a team. And I think Chelsea sees right through her because she don't care for Melissa S.
Melissa S is kind of getting on my nerves. Just a smidgen. I feel like she's being a little too fake. It's like she's always just like, hi, na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na.
What?
You know, there's no reality show, including this one, LaQuisha, that girls can't compete against each other and not just go right to hate. I mean, they are just, no pun intended, just the cattiest group of girls.
And I hate a girl when she's all na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na.
Yeah, that drives me crazy,
oh,
too.
I hate that.
Yeah.
Why isn't the show on PBS? That kind of dialogue. I don't know why. Well, they have to compete against the team that has Britney, the stripper I was talking about.
Right.
And the choreographer, Mikey, who is so gay.
Right.
He's not happy with Britney's performance because it reminds him of another profession.
Britney is a really confident girl. But unfortunately, her confidence makes her dance like a stripperella.
Oh, my goodness.
And that's bad how?
Wait a minute. Why would she dance like a stripperella? Let me think. See, that stripper!
Wait a minute. Don't the Pussycat Dolls all pretty much dance like strippers?
That's what they do.
How
yeah.
dare you? How dare you? No.
Oh.
No. No, the Pussycat Dolls, as their motto says, they're sassy but classy.
Oh, sassy but classy. Okay.
You can't be all slutty up there and be a pussycat doll. And Britney, she don't understand that because, well, does Britney think she's the total package?
Heck yeah, I'm the total package. I was just born with that. I didn't even have to work. So I'm going to get there and nothing's going to stop me. So you better get out of my way or I'm running you over. You know, I'm a confident dancer and I've been a go-go dancer. And if that style looks trashish, stripper-like to Mikey, then... whatever.
No, you did it. Now it is on. Nothing better than a gay guy and a stripper fighting each other. That's entertainment. Well, Asia, the black girl with the baby, she wins the challenge, the confidence challenge for the week.
Okay.
Which means you got to get up and dance like a hussy in front of everybody at a restaurant, in front of a bunch of strangers.
Okay.
She pulled that off, no problem. But she's still concerned about something else.
You know, everything I do now is for my daughter. Sometimes it makes me think, like, am I doing the wrong thing right now for her?
No.
Wait,
no.
What?
She's wondering if she's doing the wrong thing for her daughter. No.
No.
No, daughters like it at one when you're not home.
They understand.
No, everything she does is for her daughter, except being there with her daughter.
Exactly.
That's the only thing she's not willing to do for the daughter.
So this is her daughter's dream then?
Yes. Mommy, please be a pussycat doll.
Or perhaps wait till she's beyond, I don't know, 17 to have that daughter. Maybe
no.
A little family planning for the
no.
kid.
No. Everything's about the baby.
Okay.
Especially the getting naked and dancing part.
Okay.
Well, it's time for the face-off where the three groups of girls have to dance and sing their little heinies off to see who will make it and which one of them will have to turn in her feather boa.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
So, of course, our host, Mark McGrath, introduces the competition.
I know you guys know what's at stake here. One of you guys is going home tonight. For the eight who remain, you'll have a chance to become a member of one of the biggest girl groups of all time.
Oh, shut up, Mark McGrath.
Easy.
Biggest girl groups of all time. Oh, forget the Spice Girls and the Supremes and the Bangles and the Go-Go's and Martha Reeves and the Vandellas and the Shangri-La and any other girl band.
And TLC, mother effer.
Mother effer! Well, they all get up there and sing and dance, and the judges judge them as they all want to do.
Sure.
Miss Little Kim was there. She's one of the judges.
Oh, she got out of jail? Okay.
And here's the thing. The problem is Chelsea and that Melissa S. girl, when they get up there, mm-hmm. everybody's worried about Chelsea not pulling it off. Well, guess who screws up? Not Chelsea.
Uh-oh.
Melissa S., who's all snotty.
Nice.
The two girls that I was very intimidated by completely shocked me. Like, Melissa S. messed up. Shocking. She didn't help me, and I had to do it on my own. So I guess karma's a bitch.
And so is Melissa S. Well... it comes down to the final two girls to see who gets to turn in her boa. Melissa S., who screwed up her words singing the song, did not do a good performance.
Right.
And Britney, who is just too much of a whore. And that's how they decide which one is going to go home. And sadly, I think it's going to be Britney.
Britney, the Pussycat Dolls are all about talent and presence. And yes, they're sexy. But Britney, I'm looking for a much more sophisticated version of sexy.
Yeah, they want like Masterpiece Theater up there. Not all shaking their ass and boobies. Listen to me for a second. If you're too much of a whore to be in the Pussycat Dolls, girlfriend, you gotta look in the mirror and say, what am I doing with my life?
How much of a whore am I?
Look, Brittany, yeah, we're slutty, but damn, girl, you got to close your legs once in a while.
Oh, that's sad.
And then we get to say goodbye in a very solemn ceremony to Brittany.
Brittany, I'm sorry, but you will not be the next Pussycat Doll. Please hang up your boa.
I can't take that seriously.
This Robin Hanson girl who founded this whole thing, she's damn near in tears asking a girl to hang up a boa.
Hang up your boa.
Hang up your boa. That sounds like a euphemism. I think the problem is Britney had too many boas up inside her. That's the problem.
She's got plenty of spares.
So now it's down to 8 girls. Who's going to be the next doll? I don't care. I just like making fun of these bitches.
And we will talk to you next Wednesday.
All right.
Thank you, LaQuisha.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the World Famous K-Rock. It's Wednesday morning. We got this email earlier today. I think it bears repeating. Dear Kevin and Bean, on behalf of Donald J. Trump, NBC, and the Miss USA organization, I would like to ask if Kevin Ryder would be interested and available to be our show's announcer for the 2007 Miss USA pageant. The pageant will be broadcast live on NBC from 9 till 11 from the Kodak Theater in Los Angeles on March the 23rd. Kevin would announce our opening titles and all of our bumpers throughout the two-hour telecast. So the date is quickly approaching. I would love to hear your thoughts sooner rather than later. Kevin, you got this email in your box yesterday and said what?
Well, I deleted it because I thought it was a joke.
You figured it was Jimmy Kimmel or somebody playing a prank
on
you?
Yeah, I just thought somebody was making fun of me because of the Grammy thing.
You're not suggesting it's not a joke, are you? I'm sure it's a joke.
Well, we thought we got to find out who on earth would be trying to get Kevin on the Miss USA pageant. I mean, not that it's not a tremendous honor, but clearly he's unqualified to speak for professionally, right?
Right.
So we asked Lighting to line us up somebody, and we have Phil Gurin on the line. He's the executive producer of the Miss USA pageant, which again airs Friday, March 23rd at 9 on NBC. Phil, thanks for joining us. I know you're very busy this morning. We appreciate it.
Thank you guys for having me. Good morning.
So, 56th annual Miss USA pageant is happening a week from Friday, and you're saying goodbye to the party girl. Tara Conner's gone, right?
Tara's, you know, she's come through a lot this past year, but we are going to definitely say goodbye, thank her for all the good things she did, and, you know, wish her well.
Okay. Yeah, well, she has done more for Miss USA than any Miss USA contestant I can think of in a long time, my friend. She was a gem. So, right now, you do not have an announcer for the show for that Friday night?
No, we do not, and we're really excited here.
Based on...
Phil, have you personally heard any of my announcing?
Personally? Well, I listen to you on the radio.
Yeah. Hmm. Really? That didn't dissuade you?
Because that would have dissuaded me. That's almost dissuaded us from having him on the radio show, much less anything else. Phil, I mean, don't you want somebody who's dynamic and exciting and can translate the energy of your pageant to the home viewer?
Well, yeah, that's why we want Kevin.
And don't you want someone whose voice cuts through? That would be helpful, right?
Look, I hate me more than these guys do. So I thought it was a joke because of we've played very publicly a lot of screw-ups that I've had working on the Grammys. And there's no possible way anybody else could actually want that type of announcing.
I disagree completely. We love the quality of your voice. We love who you are, at least what we publicly know of you.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Listen to Phil. This is crazy. Hey, Psycho Mike, do you have any of the tape available? If we have time, let's just play just a minute or so of what you've got from when Kevin was in the booth for the Grammys.
Shit. Coming up, Shakira and Wyclef Jean. Mary J. Blige in a once-of-a-lifetime performance. To vote for Africa Miranda, send the number 1. To vote for Brenda Radney, send the number 1. Send the number 2. Coming up, Shakira and Wyclef Jean. Mary J. Blige in a once... God damn it. Mary J. Blige in a once-in-a-lifetime performance. Sorry, people. I think it's... Yeah, I also think I screwed up the word 1.
Phil, I think what we're saying is you don't know what you're doing, and we have to have, as a friend, we need to come to you in an intervention capacity. We need to say, we're not going to allow you to eat that last piece of chocolate cake. You need to push away from the table. You need to, seriously, you need help, and we need to say no on Kevin.
Well, I certainly agree I may need help.
Yeah.
But this is an official offer, and we think Kevin would be great for it.
Are you just looking for laughs? Is that it? People are a little depressed. You want to give him something to laugh at?
You know, if you're the help me out here, Phil. Phil is the executive producer of the Miss USA pageant on the line talking about next Friday's pageant. If you're the guy who's doing the announcing, don't you have to be able to pronounce all of the states plus the District of Columbia?
No, actually not. We have the folks are going to be on camera. We're going to do that. Kevin's going to we're going to protect ourselves. We're going to have Kevin pre-record all his announce.
Oh yeah. That's the only
smart.
Way to go. Yeah.
Time consuming, so, but smart.
We don't have to worry about him saying it's Miss Ohio or anything like that, right? He'd be fine.
Not at all.
Pre-record.
Well, the problem is it's only 9 days till your show. There's no way you can get it. You can lay it all down and edit it in time for the telecast.
I do require a full month of pre-record time. Coming up next, an unforgettable moment with Corinne Bailey-Rae. An unforgettable moment with Corinne Bailey-Rae. Wow. An unforgettable performance by Corinne Bailey-Rae. Boy, I sure can't say her name. An unforgettable moment with Corinne Bailey-Rae.
Kevin, Phil says it's a serious offer. He's on the line. He's got to go. What do you say for the Miss USA pageant next Friday night?
Oh, wow. Phil, I'm going to have to talk to you later because I have big reservations about this. So
can you say, you know, live from the Kodak Theater, it's the Miss USA 2007 pageant?
Questionable. It's questionable at best. I'll take your number and I'll call you, Phil.
All right. Well,
I'll call you today.
It's a serious offer. We'd love to have you.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, you're very kind, Phil. I think you're in a little way making fun of retarded kids when you're doing this somehow. But we appreciate you coming on the Kevin and Bean Show with us.
Hey, guys. Thanks for your time.
See, nice guy. He's doing a real job. He just doesn't know he's in dangerous territory.
Yeah. He does need an intervention. That's
he's
all
heading for an ass whooping, and he doesn't have any idea who's going to give it.
Oh, Ralph, the guy was serious from the Miss USA pageant.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Don't you know?
Okay. It's KRQFM passing in Los Angeles. Next half hour, by the way, we will talk to some of the students who plan to have their hair cut by Sam, the Armenian comedian. We're going to be down in Long Beach tomorrow with the Electric Hair on campus at Cal State Long Beach Student Union Level 2. It's free to come by to get your hair cut. He's going for the world record. We'll give you all those details in the next half hour here on K-Rock. First, Ralph's here with the showbiz beat. Good morning, Ralph.
Congratulations to Tori Spelling. She just gave birth to her first child, Liam Aaron McDermott. Ah, nice Irish Jew. Of course, Aaron is his middle name, named after Aaron Spelling, Tori's dad. And Tori's mom, Candy, was at Cedars-Sinai Hospital yesterday at the time of the delivery. And apparently the two of them are patching things up, and this baby's going to bring them back together. So we can all rest easy now that Candy and Tori have buried the hatchet, so to speak.
I saw a little brother, Randy Spelling, on the TV this week. What does he do? Is he an actor?
I didn't know there was one.
He was the last one to join the Spelling Five, I think, when they were touring. I think after Michael left, Randy came in, and he used to play with them, and he used to,
That's the Jackson Five. That's not the same family.
I think he has some sort of reality TV show or something, and I thought, why am I watching a reality TV show of a guy I've never heard of before? It doesn't make any sense.
He's a Spelling.
Okay.
That's all you need to know.
All right.
The family of Richard Jenny talking out about his suicide. There had been some rumors that Jenny took his life after a series of professional disappointments, but the family wanted to talk about Richard's death and explain better what was going through his mind at the time of his suicide over the weekend. He had just enjoyed one of his most financially rewarding years to date, they said, about those rumors. The truth is, earlier this year, Richard was diagnosed with severe clinical depression coupled with bouts of psychotic paranoia.
What a dork.
One only needs to have a family member or friend with a mental illness to understand there's nothing rational, predictable, or fair about these diseases.
No?
He was not down or blue. He was ill. So apparently the disease just got the better of him and he took his own life. But it wasn't due to any troubles in his personal or professional life.
I'm guessing most people who commit suicide, unless it's like some devastating breakup that triggers it, are clinically depressed.
Yeah, I have to think of some sort of chemical imbalance. Yeah.
Tom Cruise doesn't begs to sense. Differ.
Yeah, I know. It doesn't even
You
exist.
Could call him in the middle of the night.
Sure. Take People, a vitamin, for God's sake.
Take a vitamin.
Sakes.
Lindsay Lohan's got a lot to celebrate. New York Post has her in New York City at a nightclub called The Box.
Where she was reportedly making out with Jude Law on both Friday and Saturday nights. Jude Law and Lindsay Lohan, a new couple.
Well,
all right.
He's dreamy.
There you go.
Couple for a couple days.
Yeah.
And also today, Lindsay's dad, Michael, is set to be released from a New York State penitentiary.
Oh, good.
Oh, welcome home, Dad.
He gets out today after 2 years behind bars. Michael was sentenced to serve time after surviving a fiery car crash on Long Island, where he was charged with...
Why is that funny?
Fiery.
Oh, I see fire crash.
Mike sees the jokes coming before I even
sorry.
Say.
I apologize. Aww.
Where he was charged with driving under the influence, insert fire crotch joke there.
I apologize.
And or if you're Mike, you've already thought of it, you've moved on.
Exactly. Lindsay Lohan, not Lindsay Lohan, Whitney Houston. That's someone completely different.
Yep. Totally.
She started work on her comeback album yesterday, stepping into the studio for the first time in years.
Yes.
Clive Davis apparently is mentoring her and producing a few tracks on the new CD. John Legend, Neo are also lined up to work with her. A bunch of new people are Chingy? Writing songs, and not Chingy's not mentioned yet, but I think he's on deck, are lining up to work with the former superstar to be a part of her comeback.
She looks thinking, great.
She looks great. She's sober. Yeah. She's in the studio working on a new album. How bad does your career have to be where Whitney Houston's in better shape than you are, Britney Spears?
Oh.
Good point.
Imagine me and Britney Spears right now. Say, yeah. What? Whitney Houston is clean and sober and recording.
And I'm in rehab.
Oh, this is BS. Whitney's got her stuff together more than you do.
Yeah.
Ouch.
I hope Britney gets out of rehab and marries Bobby Brown. Would that be the best thing ever?
I hope she takes her leg off and goes on Dance with the Stars.
Oh, that would be awesome, too.
I hope. Today's celebrity birthday is Michael Caine. One of my favorite actors. Just a brilliant, brilliant actor. One of those guys who does horribly crappy movies sometimes.
He does, yeah.
Like Jaws 4 and The Swarm and things like that. Yeah. But he's good in them.
He's always good no matter what the movie.
I bet 65-70% of the movies he's done, he wishes he hadn't.
He just did for the money.
Well, he's a guy who says he doesn't really care. He doesn't live to act or anything. It's just how he makes a living.
Yeah.
And he says the first thing he asks when they offer him a script is where does it shoot? Because he only likes to work in warm places. You see him in a lot of tropical locales when he makes movies.
That's how he picks.
Where does it shoot and how much does it pay? Mm-hmm. That's how he picks his films.
Wow. That's so the opposite of every other actor you hear.
I know. It's awesome.
Yeah, Oscar winner.
It's all about the art.
Yes. Quincy Jones, musician, producer, filmmaker, TV producer, 74 years old today. Billy Crystal, actor and comedian, 59 years old today. And Chris Klein from American Pie, amongst other films, is 28 years old today. And I get a lot of hate mail because I neglected to mention last hour, Adrian Zemed, and T.J. Hooker, and Grease 2.
That's
good. And I think he also hosted Dance Fever for a little while, too, after Denny Terrio took off.
Okay.
That's Adrian Zemed's career. And I think we were in Reno or something doing a singles party, and he was doing Dinner Theater up there.
Really?
Wasn't Adrian Zemed on the side of a bus? Weren't they advertising him playing someplace, one of the casinos?
Oh, man, and that was back then.
So,
ouch.
Ralph, did you say earlier, though, that he's had some tough times and he was on his medication? Am I wrong?
It worked when everyone else said it.
Did you say he was on his medication?
Remember that whole punch bowl thing I said earlier?
No. Yeah, that was it?
Yeah, that was it.
So...
Even Dick Cheney doesn't like that.
Wow.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Hey, this guy that we're going to talk to, the Veskeezy, does he work here at K-Rock?
Oh, yeah.
Then why isn't he sitting across the table from us right now? Why is he on the phone?
Yeah. Hey, why are you on the phone?
I'm driving into work right now.
Bitch!
Wow, nice schedule. What do you get in around 10:30? Then you have a little snack, and then a smoke break, and then play some darts, then watch a little bit of TV. Then you finally kick into work at around 3:00 before you go home at 4?
Something like that, then leave early around 4.
I know that every once in a while, if I need the studio, another studio, not the air studio, I'll go in there, and he'll be in there, and I'll say, hey, dude, you doing anything, or can I have the studio for a few minutes? And he's always like, hey, no problem, I got nothing to do.
Exactly.
Brian works here at K-Rock. He's a behind-the-scenes guy, and he works on the commercials. And we think we have a bit of a problem here, Brian.
Okay.
Oh, we have to be honest. You voice a lot of the commercials.
Yes, it is.
What's your background? Where are you from originally?
From Santa Monica.
Okay.
From the L.A. area.
Local. So the L.A. area, mm-hmm. Okay. So do you do accents, or you have family members from the South, or...
Well, actually, if you want to get that specific, I'm half El Salvadorian, half Bulgarian.
Okay, that doesn't help.
Okay.
It doesn't help.
Mm-mm.
Let me play a few clips of commercials that you've done in the past couple of days, and maybe you can help us understand what in God's name is going on.
All right.
The first one is a Del Taco commercial.
Del Taco wants to know, what's your papas? Choose between the shrimp and papas or the fish and papas.
Okay. What's your papas? What's your papas? Why do you trill your R there, Brian?
All right, first of all, I don't write that. And second, I thought it was kind of funny when I read it myself, but...
Were you high?
No, I wasn't.
I think Brian is taking his cues from Linda Alvarez on the news.
All right, I'm going to play another one, and then I want you to tell me what's going on here. This is another commercial that Brian has worked on.
Who can resist the tangy tartar sauce, flaky deep water white fish, and melted American cheese for just a buck and some change?
Okay, what's the deep water cheese? The tangy saucy deep water cheese.
Just a buck and some change.
What in God's name?
I don't know.
What's that accent?
I thought I just could not read that straight. I got to throw a little flair, a little accent into that.
What kind of accent?
What is the accent, though? I don't know what it is. Deep water.
Cajun? Are you trying to be Cajun?
But it brought a lot of attention to that commercial. Lots of work.
Yeah.
Yeah, boycotting mostly is the kind of attention.
All right, here's another piece that Brian worked on.
And you just might be one of those beef lovers that's crazy about mouth-watering Swiss cheese and tender sautéed mushrooms.
Are you a beef lover?
Are you tender. It's tender.
Are you a lover of tender beef?
And I love my mushrooms.
What is that?
Are you trying to be Ali G? Is that what you're doing?
I guess I just like having a lot of fun with commercials. They're fun to do, and I can't read them all straight every day.
It sounds fun. I mean, we picture you smoking out, but it sounds fun.
Now, we didn't have the tape, Kevin, on our favorite, the one where he talks about something that's creamy, right?
Creamy.
It's creamy.
That one's gone, thank God.
Oh, see, I asked Brian yesterday, I want all of your bad commercials, and he didn't send in creamy.
Creamy. Now, what was creamy? Do you remember?
Yeah, it was a creamy, low-fat yogurt or something like that.
Creamy.
It's creamy.
You couldn't find it, my ass. You've got it at home on the wall on a gold record. All right, here's another one.
The flame-grilled goodness for just $5 more. Only at El Pollo Loco.
Only at El Pollo Loco. All of a sudden, he's south of the border.
$5 more.
What the hell? Here's another one.
Got a hankering for Texas barbecue? Try Shakey's Texas barbecue chicken pizza topped with grilled chicken, whole milk mozzarella, and Shakey's sweet and smoky barbecue sauce. Hungry? Two-step it over to Shakey's today.
Hungry?
Okay, that's terrible.
Hungry?
Barbecue.
Hungry? Two-step it over.
Brian, every once in a while, we have to have somebody on it. We have to get them to pay attention, to listen up as we ask this question.
All right.
What are you doing? What are you doing?
I have no idea. Sometimes I'm having too much fun behind the mic.
Well, it's entertaining. Don't get me wrong. I don't want you to change your style.
I just wanted
to find out
is.
Where it's coming from exactly. Here's one of my favorites.
I'm a powerful man. Why, you might ask?
I'm a powerful man.
Are you trying to sound black?
Is that your black voice?
I remember reading that and just going, oh, no. How am I going to do this one?
See, Brian knows what it's like to be me, to have to read something and know that you can't pull it off no matter what you do.
Yeah. Right.
You might as well just give it a shot.
And that blows.
I don't know where you're getting your weed, because the stuff we buy from Jed isn't nearly as good as the stuff you must be getting. So you got to start sharing, brother. That's all we're saying.
Absolutely.
Keep doing the work the way you're doing it, but don't Bogart.
God bless you guys.
All right.
Got a hankering for Texas barbecue? Try Shakey's Texas barbecue chicken pizza topped with grilled chicken, whole milk mozzarella, and Shakey's sweet and smoky barbecue sauce. Hungry? Two-step it over to Shakey's today.
Is there anything else you'd like us to know?
I'm a powerful man.
All right.
Why, you might ask?
You know what we always say around here, Kevin, and that's go beach. I mean, sure. A day doesn't go by, we don't say go beach. And, of course, we're talking about Cal State Long Beach. On the line with us right now, we have the editor of the diversions section of the Daily 49er. Let's say hello to Matt Wilkinson. Hey, Matt, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
How's it going?
Good.
Well, it's good. I'm on your website right now, the Daily 49er website, and the number one article on your site this morning is K-Rock to give free haircuts at CLUB. That's where we're coming down tomorrow, and you're the guy who wrote the article about it, right?
Yeah, we like free stuff.
Are you afraid that this might be bad advertising? Because while it's free,
it's not going to be.
It's not good.
It's not going to be good.
You know what I mean?
It's going to be bad.
Did you talk to Sam? Right? You talked to the Armenian comedian.
I did. I talked to him yesterday.
How did that conversation go?
It was interesting.
He's a tool, right?
Character.
Yeah.
How long?
He's a tool, right?
Yeah, he's a tool. How long did the phone conversation last? Because he's not a guy who is quick to get off the phone.
No, it definitely was closer to 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like five was just him laughing, I think.
Well, let me read from Matthew's article here in the Daily 49er. It'll give you the information about where we're going to be tomorrow. A world record hopefully will be broken at the Cal State Long Beach this Thursday when Sam, the Armenian comedian Manizian from K-Rock's Kevin and Bean Show, will attempt to cut and style 251 heads of hair in the Electric Hair Salon on campus. According to K-Rock, Manizian is a licensed stylist. By the way, that's not coming from us.
No.
Right, Kevin, that's coming from him. He says he's got a license. I've never seen
We're not vouching for anything for him, just so you know.
Who will be offering students free haircuts starting at 6 a.m. Thursday to 6 a.m. Friday, if necessary, to break the record. Italian stylist Christian Petrillo set the current record of 250 haircuts on June 18, 2004 in Hamburg, Germany, according to the Guinness Book of World Records. Now you get into Sam's quotes. I'm going to kick his ass, Manizian said of Petrillo. I know how to cut hair more than he does. I'm Armenian.
What does that mean? Matt?
I'm not really sure. He was very, very passionate about that.
Right.
Speaking of passion, Ralph...
His whole argument was that I'm Armenian.
Right.
Sure, we can, because we all know the impact Armenians have made on the world, all the great contributions they've made to society. Ralph Garman, Kevin and Bean's entertainment correspondent, will be broadcasting live from the salon and interviewing students waiting in line, as well asking students how they like their new dues. Anyone who gets their hair cut will also get a commemorative T-shirt. Now, here's another great Sam quote. I've been cutting hair since 1978. I'm a professional hair cutter. I have precision scissors. I can cut all lengths of hair from the earlobe to the butt crack to the belly button, all in 5 minutes. I know my technique.
He does a full body cut? So if you got a hairy back?
The Armenians need it. Come on, you know that. Electric Hair is a privately owned full-service salon on campus. It's located on the second level of the University Student Union. The salon is owned by Brandy Tillis, who is married to K-Rock's producer, Lightning. If Manizian is to break the record, Matthew continues, he will have to cut and style over 10 heads of hair each hour. He claims he is up to the task, but he will need 251 volunteers. That's where he's hoping students will come in. Now, this Electric Hair in the Student Union building is open to the public also, right, Matt? I mean, people can come in who aren't students tomorrow morning, right?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, okay.
There's no reason why they can't get into the building or anything like that. You don't need a student ID card or anything like that, right?
No. Anybody who is ready and willing to sacrifice their hair to Sam can.
Do you have a school nurse or some kind of medical professional on
hand? Actually, we have like a whole health services, I think.
Can we dispatch all of them to that hair salon?
I think we can.
Okay, good.
I would like their confidence in me, Manizian continued. Everybody is going to look so stylish when I'm done. Manizian has been a frequent guest on the morning show since the early 90s. He also does stand-up comedy at the Comedy Store in Hollywood. Haircutting isn't his only hobby, but it's the one he is passionate about, says Matt in the article. Here's Sam. I can do two haircuts at the same time.
Now, this one he's calling the octopus.
Octopus, right.
Okay.
Now, I want to make sure that this quote is correct, Matt, since you interviewed the Armenian comedian yesterday. I can do two haircuts at the same time. It has to be identical twin brothers or sisters, though. One on my left and one on my right. I use one pair of clippers and jump back and forth. I can also cut hair standing on one leg with my eyes closed like the chicken dance.
That is very correct.
That I would like to see.
Well, Sam told us he could do two heads at one time, but he didn't tell us they had to be identical twins.
No, he said they had to be identical twins or else that he would mess it up.
Well, that doesn't even, I mean, hard to believe, but that doesn't even make any sense, right?
I don't know. He's going to be looking for a pair of them tomorrow.
Hey, Sam?
Yeah?
You told us you could cut two heads of hair at one time, but you didn't tell us they had to be twins.
Well, that's part of my spicy joke it up deal, you know?
Oh, it's part of your spicy joke it up deal.
Okay. Yeah, you got to telegraph more that there are jokes coming, because we can't always tell.
You know, comedians, when they talk, they mean one word means 12,000 ideas, you know?
I'm not sure.
You know, when a stand-up comedian is on the stage talking, and all the audiences are picking up his words coming out of his breath.
Right.
You know, that's what they pick up. Each they laugh, but each one has different ideas.
Each one picks up words off their breath.
Yeah.
You hold on, Sam, okay? Yeah. We'll come back to you tomorrow in Long Beach. So, Matt, you'll be down there tomorrow? You're going to be doing follow-through on the Daily 49er on this story?
Yeah, we're going to have a writer down there. And
no writer, Matt. You're going to be there getting your haircut. Right?
Sure.
Okay.
Hey, Matt, we heard, Lightning heard anyway, that the president of the school wants to come by and get his haircut. What do you think about that?
He probably would. He's ready and willing for stuff like that.
He must not know all we know.
Exactly. All right, here's the deal. If you're in the area, join Ralph Garman and Sam the Armenian Comedian trying to get into the Guinness Book of World Records tomorrow at Electric Hair, Cal State Long Beach, Student Union Level 2. Free haircuts and jokes. Of course, we'll be talking to them live down here on the radio all day tomorrow
jokes
and into Friday.
Jokes not included.
Exactly. And you can see this article if you want to send it to somebody. It's at the daily49er.com website. And by the way, NCAA tournament, who's your team? Long Beach is in it, right?
Yeah, they're going to the NCAA tournament for the first time in 12 years.
They're playing on Friday, right?
They are, I believe.
I think they are. And I would like to apologize ahead of time for, you know, upstaging the team as they play in the NCAA in the March Madness, because Sam's going to be breaking the record Friday morning.
Yeah, I know.
Maybe.
Kind of stealing their thunder there.
Yeah, that's going to happen.
Maybe. Hey, Matt, one last question. 49ers and dirtbags?
Yes. Yes, it's a thing that goes far before me, but their bags are baseball, and 49ers is everything else. The baseball team is so cool, they have to have their own name.
But most schools, all their teams are named the same thing, right?
Yeah, like it's...
If you're
the Bruins, whether it's, you know, volleyball or basketball or baseball or
right, same with
basketball
Trojans.
Or anything, yeah.
But that's just how badass our team is. They have to have their own.
They are a good team.
Well, you are pretty badass. Yeah, that's true.
No, they are a good team, but dirtbags, that rules. I like that. You should change it all to dirtbags, and you should change your paper to the Daily Dirtbag.
I will think about it.
Okay. All right.
All right. Matt Wilkinson from the Daily 49er Diversions Editor. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you down there tomorrow. All right, dude?
Yeah, I'll be there.
Good luck when you get your haircut.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye now. Time for your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067 is the number. It's Kevin and Bean's What to Do Nephew, and you get on the air, you get a prize.
Unless you're Raul from Riverside, by the way, who no way gets a prize. That freaking guy. We'll talk to him in a minute. Everybody else, a pair of lift tickets to join K-Rock this weekend at Bear Mountain. Bear Mountain, by the way, now has 182 park features available. I wonder if some of them are trash cans. I mean, what are they counting for? What's a park feature?
182 park features. I don't know. We're going to have them count it down.
Give me a piece of Raul here, because this will not stand. Not on my watch.
All right. Raul in Riverside. Good morning.
What to do, nephew?
Oh, look, 909. What a surprise this is.
What is wrong with you, Raul? What is wrong with you?
951 is the 909 bitch. All right, what happened?
What's your problem, Raul?
Well, I took your guys' advice to get Borat. Borat should win an Oscar.
Yes.
Borat sucks.
Funniest movie of the year by far.
Borat
maybe the past
sucked.
10 years.
It sucked? Borat That's what you sucked. Said?
Borat sucked?
What?
It sucked.
So you didn't watch it, in other words?
I watched it and laughed probably twice, and afterwards I was like, no way.
What's wrong with you?
I think we're going to have to ask you to stop listening.
Yeah, you know, apparently. And let's stop living, for that matter.
I actually like Monk a lot more.
Monk. Okay, that tells
Monk
me a lot
more.
Monk's
okay,
an okay
Raul?
Show, but it's
Monk
not funny.
Monk is fine, yeah.
It's not funny.
No, no prize, Raul. We reject you totally.
We have to
Please
stop.
Don't listen to our
we have
show
to stop
anymore.
Tony Shalhoub from calling in.
No prize for you.
Give a four, huh? And maybe make a sexy time with her.
No.
Why not?
Because a woman has a right to choose who she has sex with.
What?
How about that? That's good, huh?
He's not good for me.
Raul is a bad, bad man, and that's why no one likes him.
How can someone not find that funny? I don't have any idea. I really don't.
Because they're wrong.
Kim in Northridge, hi.
Hi, what do, nephew?
What it do?
I wanted to tell you guys about the worst first date ever.
Okay.
I did not know this guy was a mental patient. He said he had been hospitalized twice in the past 2 years. The first time was back in October. He was in Germany, and he blacked out, but apparently he ran through the airport naked, holding an apple in his hand, screaming, I've got a bomb! I've got a bomb!
Oh.
And then he threw it at the wall.
You must marry him.
Wow! Did he offer this information up to you?
Yes, he did.
You didn't have to pry it from him?
No!
Oh, you've got to see him again.
Dude, if you're gonna start being so picky and so judgmental, like a guy can't run naked through one airport with an apple without you coming down on him, Kim, what's wrong with you? How can you afford to be so picky?
I have no idea. And the date got even worse, but at the end, he started flipping out on me. He's like, "You're effing crazy." I'm like, "What are you talking about?" He's like, "Yeah, but I'm crazy too. We're like two peas in a pod." I didn't talk the whole date. I had no idea what he was talking about.
That's awesome. You're so lucky.
He ran through the airport naked, yet I'm the crazy one.
When are you going to see him again?
Never. We'll pay for the date.
Oh, Kim.
If you had any sense of humor at all, you would have ordered apple pie for dessert and watched him jump on it like a grenade.
I'll save you. My pie's going to explode.
That's awesome. Kim, thank you for the call. Mental illness is just funny. We appreciate that. All right. 1-800-520-1067. How about Guy in Whittier? You're on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Good morning.
Hey, what it do, nephew?
What it do?
What, baby boob? How you doing?
I'm good, Guy. What's going
baby
on?
Boob, baby boob? baby American boobs?
Baby boob's the one. Hey, did you see the American Idol last night with
no.
Paula Abdul, the total prescription breakdown she had on TV?
She had a breakdown last night?
She crushed. She cried like someone ran over her dog.
Did she really? Why?
It was unbelievable. So the girl sang pretty good, you know, the horse face girl.
And
she sang pretty good, but then Paula started breaking down and emotional, and even Simon Cowell couldn't even give a review because he was laughing so hard.
He was laughing so hard at her for crying that he
That's
could not talk.
Awesome.
And the best part about it, and Guy is absolutely right, it looked like a mental breakdown. The best part about it is she couldn't form words to explain why she was so overcome with emotion. She was trying to say, I feel so much emotion from you because I can see how much this song means to you. And she couldn't say anything. She was just like,
What she was saying was she was feeling the emotion of those pills kicking in.
Yeah, that's right. She's exactly. Never been high or drunk, Guy. Never.
She said, okay, you can sing really good, and I'm coming on really great right now.
Yeah, no kidding.
This girl did a great job and got a standing ovation, and the girl got a little choked up. Like,
she did.
Wow, okay. It was the first night in front of a big crowd on that big stage, but Paula just melted into a puddle. She was useless.
Excellent. I love that.
Let's talk to Alex real quick in L.A. if we have time, because this is a family I want to learn some more about.
Hey, Alex.
Hey, how's it going? What'd it do?
What'd it do?
What'd it do?
Hey, so my mom's friend, she has two daughters,
mm-hmm.
18 and 22.
Right.
Both of them are pregnant. We just found out it's from the same guy. And this morning, we find out that my mom's friend, who's 50 years old, is also pregnant by the same guy.
Oh, no way. That's too Jerry Springer-ish.
Rocks.
and the guy's a minor.
Okay, wait a minute. You're telling me that a guy got a mom and 50-year-old mom and an 18-year-old daughter and a 22-year-old daughter all pregnant at the same time?
Yep. We found out this morning that the girl, the 50-year-old, was pregnant.
All right, we need to talk to somebody in that family, Alex, before we'll believe you. I'm sorry.
All right, well,
the 50-year-old's not the mother of the girls, though, right?
I think he's saying
yes.
She is.
No, she's a friend of the mother.
Yeah, no. She's my mom's friend.
Okay, but the 50-year-old that's pregnant is the mother of the two daughters that are pregnant.
Yeah.
All by the same dude who's underage.
All the same family, 18, 22, and 50, all pregnant.
The guy's underage?
How old is the guy?
17.
And one of them is his teacher?
No teacher.
Oh, Alex,
that would make it the perfect story.
You have got to hook us up with them, Alex. We need to talk to any one of the parties.
The guys who we want to talk to. Whatever, with the girls. I want to talk to that guy and get his secret.
I want to talk to 50-year-old mom. That's who I want to talk to.
Yeah.
Your daughters are pregnant by the same guy. All three of you.
Alex, will you listen to us? I want to make sure you understand what we're saying here. You will try to find somebody in that family to talk to us on the air.
I will.
All right.
Okay, all right. Very good. Thank you, Alex.
And
your prize.
It happened on the same night.
That's the best.
Really? Wow. Yeah. At the same time.
Yeah. Same bed.
Sean in Los Angeles. Good morning.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
Hey, guys. What's going on? Hey, I'm on my way to LAX to go to the South by Southwest concert out there in Austin, Texas.
Oh, that's awesome.
Lucky dog.
And I have a newborn at home, and I spent the entire evening convincing my in-laws that I had an important business meeting to go to in Texas.
I love that. You're going to have the best time. It's in Austin, Texas. We brought Kat in because she's not only been there, but she's made a movie about it that she put up at krock.com.
I didn't even know that.
I didn't know why you brought me in. I felt like I was in detention.
How dare you?
Can we have a word with you, please?
Kat tries so hard to not have to hear any of our show that she has to follow, and then we forced her into this break.
So Sean wants to know, he's a first-timer going to South by Southwest. What should he do?
Well, first, get the papers drawn, because you're going to have ex-in-laws, probably.
Yeah.
But wear comfortable shoes. That is my big number one there.
Because you do a lot of walking.
That's all you do, because you can't drive. They block off a main street.
It's a pretty small downtown area, though, when you consider Los Angeles. It's a really small downtown area. You can walk from bar to bar to bar to bar. It's so awesome.
It's amazing.
Yeah. And so wear comfortable shoes, Sean. What else should he know?
Do not wear white.
Okay.
As my mic.
Unless you like anal sex, right?
I'm sorry, that's a whole different topic.
You're just eating messy food and drinking beer, and it's just, you just get disgusting.
But let me ask you this, and people have the same problem when they're trying to decide what to do at Coachella. How do you plan which bands you're going to see? Because so many of them must overlap. And are a lot of them sold out, and you really have to finagle to get your way into some of the hotter shows, Kat?
There is a lot of that. Though what happens is if you want to see a band that's supposed to be at the end of the night, you should get there first thing when the doors open and sit through the four other bands. That's what just happens because the city's so crowded. But in that way, you may discover a band you've never seen before.
Because there are a lot. It's mostly new bands.
Kat, is there a clearinghouse of information where you can find out what bands are playing in what bars and what the lineups are?
Yeah, if you just go to southbysouthwest.com, it has the breakdown. But the other thing, too, is, and this is what I do, you try to make a plan, and then you have to throw the plan out.
Well, yeah, because you're drunk.
You just have to go with it.
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now, because if you try to stick to a schedule, you will hate everyone.
Yeah.
Right.
And you'll never get in.
So just start drinking and go wherever the beer takes you.
That's what I'm planning.
All right. Good.
And like Kat says,
that's how I live my life. That's right.
You go thinking, hey, I want to see Arcade Fire, and then you realize you're at the Young Pricks, and you go, well, this isn't too bad.
One of the punk bands that's played.
I walked into bars with, 20 people in them and saw great bands. So
fantastic.
Hey, thanks for the call, Matt. Sean, excuse me. Hey, what's your movie about, Kat? I have not had a chance to check it out at Kat.com.
Last year was the 20th anniversary of South By, so I just took my camera down and just shot whatever I could get. And
a lot of drunk guys asking you to show your boobs.
Mardi Gras.
I had to edit those out because it would, make for an epic film. So it's 25 minutes of just what South By is and its bands and its...
We call it South By, Bean.
If you're cool.
If you're in the know.
South By Southwest.
Yeah, that's the long version for people who don't know.
Just everyone who came in my path and,
Hey! What? Use that language on your own show.
Disgusting.
What the hell's wrong with
you? I'm so not awake right now.
My God.
It's funny that you're awake at 10, but at 9:56, wow, don't even talk to me.
By the way, a lot of people don't know, Kat comes into the studio right after we're finished, and she turns the lights completely off.
Right, yep.
Because they burn her hungover eyes.
But I do want to, if you've never been to South By, just go to my page and watch the movie. It's only like 25 minutes long.
All right, I insist you stop calling it South By now.
Those of us that are really in the know, we call it just South.
I call it So By.
Sure. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you very much, Kat. And I want to thank our guests on today's Kevin and Bean Show, Jeff Goldblum, for joining us. His new series is called Reigns. It debuts on NBC tomorrow night at 10 o'clock. Also, how great was Eric Idle, by the way, from Monty Python?
Awesome.
Dude is amazing. Monty Python's Spamalot is coming to the Wynn Las Vegas. You can go to WynnLasVegas.com or call 702-770-WYNN. That opening night is Saturday, March 31st. Ralph, you're going to that. You're going to see the Spamalot,
I'm going opening weekend. Yeah, I get to see it Friday night. They're having a special press deal for people in the media to go
see. You taking Lisa?
No.
She goes everywhere you go.
I know. She'll probably follow me there, but I'm not taking her.
All right. Tomorrow morning we have an all-new show. Yeah, we got Gene Simmons. Sure, he's talking about the Wizard World. He's talking about a new comic book that they have. Sure, we have money. He's talking about March Madness. But really what's going to happen tomorrow is that Ralph's going to have the time of his life.
Yes.
As he broadcasts live from Cal State Long Beach with the Armenian comedian.
How did I draw the short straw on this
setting
one?
A new Guinness World Record of haircutting.
Well, sure. Everybody wants a piece of my action. Well,
that's what it is, Ralph.
No,
she's trying
to glam on.
I'm going to be stuck in a hair salon with Sam
Ralph,
for the entire show.
No matter what he says, loves Sam. Talks to him on his off time all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Really,
they're
good friends. So that's
tomorrow. The plan is, Ralph, you're going to be down there. You're going to be our man on location. So a little after 6 o'clock tomorrow morning is when he actually officially kicks off his 24-hour period to set the world record. That's the plan, right?
Yeah, I'll be painting a picture with words.
Are you going to let him cut your hair first? Are you going to be the first person?
No.
Second,
I haven't decided where I'm going in the lineup yet.
I see, okay. Nearer the end, might we guess?
I'm guessing towards the end.
All right. Good.
You better hope he doesn't break this record, because if he does, Ralph, you're going to have to be down there Friday
24
morning,
hours.
Too, just so you know.
You're That's staying with him, right? If he goes throughout the entire day...
No, I'm punching out of 10.
You're the man on the job.
Oh,
yeah. That is Electric Hair, Cal State Long Beach Student Union Level 2, and you can get those details at krock.com.
Hey, Kat, don't leave.
Where are you going?
Don't leave.
Hey, Kat, where are you going?
Hey, come back.
We want to talk more about South By. Kat is going to come back with 40 minutes nonstop krock, including Audio Slave, new music from The Bravery, how about some Green Day, Red Hot Chili Peppers, House of Pain, and so much more right after this on krock.